हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन 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 यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी
Hari.
Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Girivare Dhari, Jaya Girivare Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Girivare Dhari, Jaya Girivare Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana, Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Yamuna Tira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari. Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय 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 राधारमण हरि गोविंद जय जय राधारमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधारमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधारमण हरि गोविंद जय जय राधारमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधारमण हरि गोविंद जय जय राधारमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधारमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद 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 गोपाल 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 गोविंद 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 गोपाल 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 गोविंद 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 गोपाल 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 गोविंद 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 गोपाल 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna. Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Shri Krishna. Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Shri Krishna. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna. Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Shri Krishna. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Shri Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe,
శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయ. ఓం నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్టోం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిపృజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందకోడి వైష్ణవ వృందికి నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సఘో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమానంద. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki. Shri Shri Sita Rama Lakshman Hanuman ki. Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhudale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamini. నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ్య గ్రహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాల్. శ్రీమల్ భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవాం. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్ సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరతః చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదికవయే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయాం. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషాం ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సతాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమల్ భాగవదే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్య నేత్ర కృతిభి ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീതൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിദംഭലം ശുകമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവസംയുതം പിബദാ ഭഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതമപേതകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയാ തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിനാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിതാദൃതാനനിന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാ മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന കനികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, before Janmashtami, we have just started discussing the song sung by the gopis in separation from Krishna. Krishna has left the gopis and gone away, and the gopis were searching for Krishna for quite a long time in Vrindavanam, in the forest. In the night, and after a while Krishna left the gopis and took Radharani and went separately. After a while, Krishna abandoned Radharani also and went away. It was then that all the gopis met with each other, and then they decided to search for Krishna together. But eventually, when Radharani gave the instructions to them that it is no point in searching after Krishna. People who have Krishna has not shown any compassion to them. This was Radharani's mood at that time. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami mentions there that Srimati Radharani and the gopis decided to sit in one place and start singing, crying for Krishna to come back. And it is that cry of gopis is called Gopika Geetam. Actually, Gopika Geetam is the title in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but ideally, strictly speaking, many commentators say that this should have been called Gopika Rodanam. In other words, the cry of the gopis for Krishna. There is the knowledge, renunciation and devotion. All three things at the topmost level from the topmost devotees. What do you find in this Gopika Geetam? Gopika Geetam is the essence of the feelings expressed by the gopis for Krishna. And in these different verses, totally there are, I think, 19 verses. And these 19 verses were spoken by 19 different gopis. And when they spoke these verses, each gopi has spoken a verse, and sometimes they also had instructions from Radharani due to the way they expressed their feelings for Krishna. So we were talking the first four verses in that 19 verses. That is where we stopped last time, and we'll continue. But just to say in brief what gopis have expressed so far, that in the first verse, Jayadite Dhigam Janmana Vraja Shrayadam Indira Shashwadatrahi Daida Drishyadam Dikshudavaga Suidradasavastvam Vijinvadim. That the gopis mentioned there, Jayadite Dhigam Janmana Vraja, that the Vrajam, the Govindavanam has been glorified by the arrival of Krishna, by Krishna's presence. Why? Shrayadam Indira Shashwadatrahi. That Indira or Indira Devi, which is Mahalakshmi, has been constantly present, and all the cowherd gopas and the gopis have recognized this, that the sudden increase in their opulence in Vrindavanam, they have recognized due to the presence of Krishna. Shrayadam Indira Shashwadatrahi Deida Drishyadam Dikshudavaga Stoidradasavastvam Vijinvadem. But gopis were saying to Krishna, although the fortune of Vrindavanam has gone so high that they were so fortunate, but we here, some of us, in other words, referring to those gopis who have come to see Krishna and to have performed the rasa dance with Krishna, they felt very completely rejected and completely disappointed the way Krishna has disappeared. So their feelings for Krishna, but not in one verse you will find anywhere gopis have criticized Krishna in any other way, except that they glorify Krishna's qualities and at the same time asking for mercy from Krishna. This was the beauty of these prayers. In spite of being rejected by Krishna, naturally you can feel, devotees will always feel this, that when they get rejected by Krishna, they feel very disappointed. But the beauty of Gopika Geetam is that the gopis, even though they were rejected by Krishna, they could not reject Krishna. This is the devotion. This is known as devotion. Devotion means even after Krishna has rejected you, you are still able to glow after Krishna, glorify Krishna, and still looking for the mercy from Krishna. This is the purification process. It is not that we go to Krishna with some motive behind it, and when Krishna does not fulfill that motive, then we say, okay, we'll see later. That is not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is actually, in spite of the fact that Krishna has rejected the gopis, Krishna wanted to encourage the gopis to develop that pure heart, pure consciousness. Jayadite digam janmana vraja shrayadam indira shashwadatrahi daida drishyadam dikshudavaga stoidradasavastvam vijinvadem.
ಶರದುದಾಶಯ ಸಾಧುಜಾದಸಲ್ ಸರಸಿಜೋದರ ಶ್ರೀಮುಷಾದೃಶ ಸುರಧನಾಥದೆ ಶುಲ್ಕ ಅಶುಲ್ಕದಾಸಿಗ ವರದ ನಿಗ್ನಥೋ ನೇಹ ಕಿಂವಧಾಹ. ದಟ್ ದ ಗೋಬಿ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಗೋಬಿ ಸೆಟ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಶರದುದಾಶಯೇ ಸಾಧು ಜಾದಸಲ್. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಬಿನ್ ಕಂಪೇರ್ಡ್ ಟು ಎ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫ್ಲವರ್ ಇನ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್. ದಿ ಪ್ರೆಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫ್ಲವರ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದಿ ರೈನಿ ಸೀಸನ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಟಡಿ ವಾಟರ್ ವೇರ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಮಡ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೋ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ ದಿ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫ್ಲವರ್ ಅಪಿಯರ್ಸ್. And Krishna has appeared here. Sharadudashaye sadhujadasal sarasijodara shrimushadrishaha. That Krishna's presence was appreciated by the gopis to such extent that suradhanathade ashulkadasiga varadaniknatho nehakimvathaham. That Krishna gopis were saying to Krishna that we have not expected anything in return from you. They had no desire. In other words, Krishna has already taken away all their material desires from their heart. This is called purification. When the purification happens, Krishna makes sure that the material desires go away from the devotee's heart. Krishna is so kind to the devotee that is an impurity in the heart, that devotee approaches Krishna with many, many material desires. I mean, if you start listing these desires, it's endless. That in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that at one point, Parikshit Maharaj was asking Sukadeva Goswami that the different types of relationship, and in that Sukadeva Goswami mentioned, akama sarvagamova mokshagama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeda purusham param. Sukadeva Goswami says there, akama sarvagamova. That akamam means one who has no material desires, they should go to Krishna. And then he says, sarvagamovam, if you have all the material desires, still you should go to Krishna, not to anybody else. Akama sarvagamova. And at that time, four Kumaras said to them, that if people like us, who have neither material desire, anything, no material desires, and what should we do? Mokshagama udaradi. That those who want to have liberation from this material world, because there are generally these three kinds of people. One who has no material desire, one who has not all the material desires, and one who wants to go back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. Agama sarvagamova mokshagama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogenam. That even in that situation, one should very intensely worship Krishna. This is the instruction from Sukadeva Goswami, the great transcendentalist. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeda purusham param. That supreme personality, Krishna, yajeda purusham param. One should take his shelter. This is the instruction from Sukadeva Goswami. So, referring to that, again here, the gopis have explicitly mentioned to Krishna that all they were expecting from him was nothing except they wanted to see Krishna badly. They could not wait anymore. They had waited so long, and they were given the promise by Krishna that in the Sharal Kalam, in the autumn season, in the Purnami day, the full moon day, Krishna will perform the rasa dance with them. This promise was given to them, and they have felt that Krishna has abandoned them. And therefore they said to him that suraganadave ashulkadasika. Ashulkadas means no expectation from Krishna, anything, no wages, nothing, free from all such bindings. Suradanadade ashulkadasiga varadaniknatho neha kimvathaham. That why Varada, personality who can offer so much benedictions, why you are killing us in this way? This is what in the second verse. Varadaniknatho neha kimvathaham. At that time, another gopi fell. Vishajalapayal vyalarakshasal varshamarudal vaidyudanalal vishamayalmajal vishvadobhayam. At that time, a third gopi said to reminded Krishna of all the different instances when Krishna has protected them. All those different pastimes from different demons who came to destroy Krishna and Balaram and Vrindavanam altogether. All those demons were giving so much difficulties for them, but they felt so much protected by Krishna. When Krishna ate the fire and protected them from that. all these things. Vishamaya peja vishvado bhayam. Vyalarakshasal varshamarudal vaidyudanalal. When Indra decided to destroy the cowherd men, the gopas and the gopis, and Krishna also with Nanda Maharaj, all together by the torrential rain, what Indra was planning to flood them with rain and and thunder and lightning, everything. All these things they remembered immediately. Vrishamayalpaja vishvado bhayam rishabhadevayam rakshidamuhu. So that particular gopi brought mentioned this at that instance. You have to remember, when the gopis were singing, Srimati Radharani is listening to all these things. She is the head of the gopis there, of the major gopis. She had her assistants. All of them have elected Srimati Radharani as their leader because of the Radharani's special position. As that Krishna took Radharani away, that was an indication to all the gopis that Krishna has shown a special favor to Radharani. That is the reason why it was Radharani was actually observing the different feelings of the different gopis, and she was very carefully analyzing each of these verses, what different gopis have spoken.
Vishwadobhayam rishabadevayam rakshidamuhum virajidabhayam rishni duryadhe charanamiyusham.
Sorry.
Nakalu gobiganandano bhavan akhiladehinam andaralmadrit vikhanasarthido vishwaguptaye sakhamudeivan satvadam kulem.
Another gobi at that time mentioned to Krishna. Krishna, you have to remember, Krishna is sitting there next to them and listening to all these things. When the first verse was spoken, Krishna wanted to get up and come to them straight away. But then Krishna thought that if I go in now, I would not hear the rest of the others, what they had to say. So he was sitting next to them and he was listening to this whole conversation of the gopis.
Nakhalu gobiganandano bhavan.
That you are not the son of Mother Yashoda, gopi said to Krishna. They had a reason to say like that, because if you are the son of Mother Yashoda, you wouldn't do this to us like this. You brought us here, inviting all of us to come here, and you know that we had given up our attachment at home, even with our husbands and parents and children and everything. They left all, everything, and they have come here. And here you have left us and gone away. How can such a thing you can do like this? How can you can do such a thing? After all, if you are the son of Mother Yashoda, you wouldn't have done this. You are not the son of Mother Yashoda, they said to Krishna. In other words, that frustration in their heart of seeing Yashodamayi's son could do such a thing to them. This is what they were saying. How could Yashoda? Because Yashoda is one among us. She is not different. And she would not do such a thing. She could never even imagine in life that her son would do such a thing to us. So in other words, they were reminding Krishna about his relationship with Yashoda Devi and through Yashoda Devi to all the gopis.
Nakhalu gobiganandano bhavan akhiladehinam andaralmadrit vikhanasarthido vishwaguptaye sakhamudeivan satvadam kulem.
That you are not Yashoda's son, they said.
Vikhana andaralmadrit. Then nakhalu gobiganandano bhavan akhiladehinam andaralmadrit.
Andaralmadrit means that who is the witness, who is inside as a super soul, who is witnessing all our activities inside. Because we were told that you are the super soul inside, present in everyone. In fact, I mentioned this last time, that Brahma and Shiva and others, they went to see Krishna in Golokam. Through Viraja river they arrived there. Through their yogic power, they managed to get to Golokam, because they were given that special power by Krishna's arrangement. So when they saw who Krishna is, they realized that all the different incarnations were coming and absorbing themselves at Krishna's lotus feet. Lord Narasimha, Lord Ramachandra, and all the other incarnations, major incarnations, were coming and dissolving themselves at Krishna's lotus feet. It is then that Gargamuni says in the Garga Bhagavatam, that Gargamuni says there in the Garga Samhita, that Krishna is none else than the origin of all the incarnations, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
From him, all the other incarnations come. So that origin is Krishna. So because of that, the Krishna's position as a Supreme Personality from whom everything comes. That is why Edeja Amshagalapumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. That is why Krishna is called as Bhagavan himself. He is the original source of everything, source of all incarnations is Krishna. So because it's like that, Akhila Dehina Mandara Almadrak Vikhana Sartido Vishwaguptaye Sakamudeivan Satvadam Kulem Vikhana Sartido Vishwaguptaye. So when they pray to Krishna, the Brahma, and pray to Krishna, that your descent to this world, because Krishna has decided to come personally, they said to Krishna that your descent in this world is to protect everybody, every devotee, and all the saintly people and the sages. So gopis said there, gopis are saying there that, Vikhana Sartido Vishwaguptaye Sakhamudeivan Satvadam Kulem. If it is like that, why we are not protected? Why have you left us? In other words, did Brahma say in his prayers that except gopis, everybody else should be protected? Is that what Brahma said? The gopis raised this question to Krishna. Krishna is listening to this. Nakhalu gobiga nandano bhavan akhila dehinam andara almadrak vikhana sartido vishwaguptaye sakhamudeivan satvadam kulem. Brahma said that Krishna will appear among the devotees. Satvadam Gule means among the devotees or the Vaishnavas who are devotees of Krishna. Among the family, I will appear, Krishna said. Now, the appearance of Krishna among the devotees is to protect all the devotees. But did Brahma pray such that is there any change in there that except gopis, everybody else Krishna will protect? Is it like that? The gopis asked this question to Krishna. So these four verses, when they were finished, then this is what we discussed last time. And now we move on further from there. Virachida bhayam vrishti dhuryade charanam iyusham samsrade erbhayal karasaroruham kanda kamadam shirasidehina shri karagraham. Then in each of these verses, it is pregnant with so much. People could, there are great personalities who have analyzed this Gobiya Gita to such an extent. Months and months they have talked about this. Virajida bhayam vrishni dhuryade charanam iyusham samsrudeir bhayal karasaroruham kanda kamadam shirasidehina shri karagraham. Gobis, one other gobi said at this time that the interesting thing here is Karasi Dehina Shri Karagraham. Shri Karagraham means that Shri is Mahalakshmi. Mahalakshmi is Karagraham. Karagraham means Panigrahanam. In other words, the system in the marriage is that the husband holds the hand of the wife, which means that they are married. That is the system, Panigrahanam, holding the hand. So Shri Karagraham, gopis are saying that after all, you have held the hand of Mahalakshmi in the while the milk ocean was churned and Mahalakshmi wanted to marry, Mahalakshmi was requested by the great sages who were present there to marry someone who were in the assembly there. So at that time, Mahalakshmi was given this garland to marry whomever she likes because everybody wanted Mahalakshmi. Who doesn't want Mahalakshmi in this world? So all the demons, including Mahabali, were sitting there. And all of them were thinking Mahalakshmi will marry me. This is what. And that list includes everybody, all the demigods. Lord Shiva was sitting there. And Indra was there. Mahabali was there. So many great, great personalities, they were all sitting there. And everybody thought, Mahabali even apparently thought that even if I don't get the nectar, I don't mind if I get Mahalakshmi. That is what Mahabali's mind was. So like this, the demoniac nature inside, that was there. But Mahalakshmi held the garland and started moving around everywhere. And she could not find anyone. She find fault in everybody, some fault or the other. Sri Shugan in the Srimad Bhagavatam says, what happens if you, if what do you require to get the mercy from Mahalakshmi? In other words, if you want to become rich, you have to please Mahalakshmi. And if you want to please Mahalakshmi, there are certain qualities required. And Sri Shukani has listed that in the Bhagavadam. This is the way Puranas teach us. They teach us through these stories that even if you want certain things in this world, you cannot have them unless you have these certain qualities to have them, qualification for that. And there she points out what's wrong with each one of these persons. When it came to Indra, Mahalakshmi, the Sri Shukani says there that Indra's problem was that he could not control his senses. That was his biggest problem. So every time he will fall down, wherever he goes. By chance he went to Gautama Ashram, and as soon as he saw Ahalya, Gautama's wife, sage Gautama's wife, Indra fell down with her. So like this throughout, you will find Lord Shiva also, Sri Shukani has not left. Lord Shiva, everything is there. All qualification what's required for a good husband was there. So that was very pleasing for Mahalakshmi. But there also she found a fault. What was that fault? According to Mahalakshmi, a husband should be a little bit fashionable. Not like, whereas Lord Shiva, he wanted to just sit in the dress is an elephant skin, and on the shoulder there is a tiger skin, and the snake is around the neck. This is the dress, and most of the time he is dancing with the ghosts in the cemetery. This is his place of residence. So Mahalakshmi thought, if I marry a person like this, what kind of life will I have? So Mahalakshmi found a fault there also. But when she went around and got to Krishna's, who was lying there with feet completely in a relaxed mood, put it into the milk ocean, and after churning this milk ocean, Krishna was tired in the Vishnu form. He was tired, and he was not bothered who is marrying whom. He was completely transcendental to everything. Mahalakshmi went up to him with the garland and wanted to marry Krishna. Then Krishna said, if you want to marry me, I have no objection. So Mahalakshmi told him, while getting married at least, it's better if you can get up rather than lying down like this. And that is why in the Bhagavatam it says there that Krishna got up and stood there. Mahalakshmi likes to marry me, you can put the garland on me. That was attitude of Krishna at that time. So Krishna's marriage to Mahalakshmi happened like that. And from that day onwards, Mahalakshmi has not left Krishna. Mahalakshmi, wherever Krishna goes, Mahalakshmi is with him. It shows that Mahalakshmi never made a mistake in her selection. So, in the Bhagavatam, Sri Shukani says about this. From that day onwards, Mahalakshmi is with Krishna. Wherever Krishna goes, Mahalakshmi follows. In all different incarnations also, Mahalakshmi went with Krishna at different times. With Ramachandra, she came as Sita Devi. With Krishna, she came as Rukmini Devi. So, like this, even when Narasimha Murthy came, Mahalakshmi had to come with Lord Brahma to pacify him. So, in this way, Mahalakshmi always accompanied Krishna. So, here, Virajida bhayam rishni dhuryade charanami yusham samsrader bhayal karasaroruham kandagamadam shirasidehina shri karagraham. That this gobi said to Krishna, that hand with which you have held Mahalakshmi's hand, please come and put that in top of our head. She said, please bless us. You should come immediately and put your head on top of us, she said. Now, why did Gopi say like this? This is another interesting thing. Because the Gopis were, different Gopis had different feelings for Krishna in different ways. So, but this particular Gopi, what did they know about Krishna? They had no knowledge. They didn't study Vedanta philosophy or anything. The great, great yogis and jnanis, they are trying to hold Krishna for a few seconds in their heart. This is their position. All of them are struggling very hard to get a glimpse of Krishna inside. In their heart, they are meditating on that form of Krishna very, very seriously. But they can't get it. Why? Krishna says that sometimes that you carry on meditating, one day when I feel like I will come. That is Krishna's attitude. But here you'll find this gopi was already saying that you should come and do this to us. Although, because gopis haven't studied any Vedantam or anything, but gopis knew one thing, that they had their experience during their early days in Vrindavanam. All these different pastimes, Gopis have kept it in their heart. And these pastimes have constantly moved them to think about Krishna very seriously. In other words, when Krishna was about 1.5 or 2 years old, it was not more than 2 years, something like that, somewhere around 2 years old. Krishna was playing in the street with so many other gopas, cowherd boys, his friends. And that time, it was Krishna's natural way of playing with other friends. And at the same time, Krishna is observing everything, what is going on. So the system, there was a fruit vendor who came that way. A fruit vendor. This story is in the Bhagavatam before we talked about this. That this fruit vendor, she was an old lady who came from the forest. Some of the people who lived in the forest, she had come to sell the fruits in the village. It used to happen like that in the previous days. Even now, sometimes, from the forest, people bring different things to the village and sells them. So this old lady also was like that. She was very old. And at the same time, she had a desire to get some money because she hasn't had any other income. She was so poor. She had to sell these fruits and get some money and then go home and buy some grains and cook and then have prasadam. That was her situation. She was so poor, in other words. Living in the forest alone. So this old lady came out that day and she was selling these fruits. So she kept shouting whether anybody wants fruits. When she was shouting like this and moving around, Krishna saw her. Krishna told her, come to my house, Krishna says to her. Come to my house. So this old lady saw Krishna when she Krishna told her to come. She just followed him. Krishna says, my house is not very far. Look at there, that's a gate where the tree is standing. If you can come, bring there, I'll call my mother and we'll negotiate the prices. This is what Krishna told her. So this lady thought in her mind that who is the mother of this child, seeing this beauty of Krishna? Who is the mother of this child? This is the first thought came to her. She was starving. She had no food. And these fruits also, she hasn't bought it. She has managed to get it from the forest because she didn't have any money. There was no investment in that business. She has just plucked some fruits from the forest and Sitaphal, they brought it. And she has brought them and she wanted to sell and whatever little money she could get, she wanted to go back with that. That was the intention. So she followed Krishna and went to the house and waited outside because people from the forest normally won't go inside the house. They will stay outside and they will wait for the house lady or the housewife to come out and buy the things from them. They won't go inside. So she waited outside and Krishna went inside. And while Krishna was going in, she kept looking at Krishna, seeing the beauty of Krishna. And when Krishna was going in, Krishna also thought, if she wants to see me properly, let her see me. And he increased his beauty to such an extent that this old lady felt she could not control her emotions, the feelings inside. Krishna said, she wants to see me, isn't it? That's why she is looking at me like this. Krishna noticed that. And when Krishna is like that, if a devotee wants to see Krishna, Krishna will reveal himself to him. Otherwise, you can't see Krishna. No matter how hard you try to see Krishna, you won't see Krishna. This is the fact of life. There is ample proof for this in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you want to see Krishna, Krishna has to reveal himself to you. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you look at this, what happened was that Arjuna started seeing, glorifying Krishna through universal form. If you remember, Vishwarupa Darshana Yogam, it is called. In that universal form, when Krishna was showing this form to Arjuna, there it says, Pashyame partha rupani ಶತಶೋಧ ಸಹಸ್ರಶ ನಾನಾ ವಿಧಾನಿ ದಿವ್ಯಾನಿ ನಾನಾ ವರ್ಣಾಕೃತೀನಿ ಚ ಪಶ್ಯಾದಿತ್ಯನ್ಮಸೂನ್ ರುದ್ರನ್ ಅಶ್ವಿನೋ ಮರುದಸ್ತದಾ ಬಹುನ್ಯದೃಷ್ಟಪೂರ್ವಾಣಿ ಪಶ್ಯಾಶ್ಚರ್ಯಾಣಿ ಭಾರತ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಈಸ್ ಶೋಯಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸಲ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಟು ಅರ್ಜುನ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಅರ್ಜುನ, ನಾ ಯು ಲುಕ್ ಅಟ್ ಮೀ ಅಂಡ್ ಸಿ ವಾಟ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಮೀ, ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸಿ ಮೈ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಇನ್ ಮೈ ರಿಯಲ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ಟು ಅರ್ಜುನ, ಪಶ್ಯಾದಿತ್ಯನ್ ವಸೂನ್ ರುದ್ರನ್ ವಸೂಸ್ ರುದ್ರಸ್ ಅಶ್ವಿನೋ ಮರುದಸ್ತಾ ಪಶ್ಯಾದಿತ್ಯನ್ ವಸೂನ್ ರುದ್ರನ್ ಅಶ್ವಿನೋ ಮರುದಸ್ತದಾ ಬಹುನ್ಯದೃಷ್ಟಪೂರ್ವಾಣಿ ಪಶ್ಯಾಶ್ಚರ್ಯಾಣಿ ಭಾರತ. ಸೇಸ್ ಟು ಅರ್ಜುನ, ಅರ್ಜುನ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ಗುಡ್ ಲುಕ್ ಅಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ಲಿ. ಸೇಸ್ ಇಹೈಗಸ್ತಂ ಜಗಲ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಪಶ್ಯಾದ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಚರಾಚರಂ ಮಮ ದೇಹೇ ಗುಡಾಕೇಶ ಯಚ್ಛಾನ್ಯಲ್ ದೃಷ್ಟು ವಿಚ್ಛಸೀಂ. That have a good look and satisfy yourself in my body, what all I have. Krishna showed him this form to him. Mama dehe gudakesha, gudakesha, look at my deham, my body. Yachanyal drishtumichasi, and get satisfied and look as much as you want, he says. Nadu mam sakshase drishtum. So when Arjuna could not look at that form anymore, why? Krishna, he couldn't survive that, the vision of Krishna in that form. So, Nadumam sakshase drishtam anenaiva sajakshusha divyam dadamide chakshu pashyame yogamaishwaram. At that point, Nadumam sakshase drishtam, Krishna understood Arjuna's problem. Arjuna could not look at it. He just could not look at that form. Why? He simply got frightened. Up to this time, he was calling Krishna, you are my friend, and let us play together, and let us plan this Mahabharata war, and everything was going on. But as soon as this form came out, Nadu mam sakshese drishtam anenaiva sajakshusha, with his own eyes, he cannot see anymore. Divyam, therefore, divyam dadamide chakshum, in which case, I will give you the eyes to see me, Krishna says. Divyam dadamide chakshum, ಪಶ್ಯಮೇ ಯೋಗಮೈಶ್ವರಂ. ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದೆನ್ ದಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೇವ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ ದಿ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಐಸ್ ಟು ಸೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ದಿಸ್ ವಾಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸ್ಪೆಷಲ್ ಮರ್ಸಿ ಟು ಅರ್ಜುನ, ಅಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಹೌ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಸೋ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇನ್ ದಿ ವೆನ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ವಾಸ್ ಸ್ಪೋಕನ್. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿ ಆಫ್ ದಟ್ ದಿ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸಲ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್. ಅರ್ಜುನ ಕುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸೀ ದಟ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್, ಯು ವಾಸ್ ಫ್ರೈಟನ್ ಟು ಸೀ ದಟ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಅಟ್ ಒನ್ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೆಟ್ ಟು ಅರ್ಜುನ ದಟ್ I did not let you see me properly before. Because if you have seen me like this before, you would not have asked me to drive the chariot, would you? Where was the question of driving the chariot if you have seen my universal form? So in order that you are encouraged to ask me for that, as a devotee, this is Krishna's relationship with Arjuna. Krishna always wanted to please Arjuna. And for that reason, whatever illusion was necessary, Krishna created. Whatever vision was necessary, Krishna has given that. And so that, using Arjuna as a tool, Krishna wanted to finish the Mahabharata war. So there you can see, Divyam dadamide chakshu pashyame yogamaishwaram. If one wants to see Krishna, Krishna has to give you the vision. Otherwise, you can't see Krishna. Who can see Krishna? You will go on seeing everything else in this world. When it comes to Krishna, you won't be able to see Krishna. So Krishna, in this case also, Krishna decided that this old lady who has come from the forest and selling fruits, she should see me properly. Let her see me. That was Krishna's attitude. And as soon as Krishna decided that, Krishna has given that understanding to the old lady that she was able to see Krishna. And when she saw Krishna, immediately she started thinking, what a good fortune that I have to see Krishna like this. That these thoughts have come up to her. Krishna went inside the house. When Krishna went inside, Nanda Maharaj was not there. Nanda Maharaj has gone somewhere. Looked for Mother Yashoda. She was also not there. So the house was vacant. So Krishna asked before going that, what is the price of the fruits? She was asking this old lady. Old lady kept looking at the beauty. She was not interested in talking about the prices now. So she gave some price to her. Obviously, those days, bartering was the system that they gave the grains and in return you get the fruits. So some quantity of grain she mentioned to Krishna. If you bring so much, 1 liter or whatever that was mentioned, you bring so much grains and I'll give you 4 of these fruits, the lady said to Krishna. So Krishna thought it was very cheap, the price. Because she asked, Krishna asked him also, that for a liter, 4 of them, Krishna was thinking that probably 1 fruit for a liter or something. That was what going through Krishna's mind. But the lady offered automatically, didn't have any desire to collect anything from Krishna. She just wanted to give the fruits to him. That was the mood of the lady. And the old lady was thinking like this. So at that point, she said to Krishna that even if you don't bring anything, I'll give you the fruit, she said. So the lady, Krishna went inside, no, I'll ask my mother because my mother will give me the grains, what was necessary, rice or wheat, whatever that was. And I'll bring it over. It's not a bad price, Krishna said to her. Then I'll bring the grains from inside. And Krishna went inside. Nanda Maharaj was not there. Yashoda Devi was also not there. So what Krishna did was, wandered around everywhere, the storage room where all the grains were stocked. Krishna went in there and looked. It was locked up. The key wasn't there either. So Krishna thought, what a day that I can't get anything to buy. When I want to make some purchase, I can't even get the cash. Mahalakshmi husband is walking around for money. So at that point, Krishna found there were some grains lying outside the storeroom where they used to in the farmers particularly, their main wealth was the grains. That was the system for a very, very long time. Nowadays, grains are not wealth anymore because there's so much available. And so those days, among the farmers and among the most of the people, grains and the cow, that was their wealth, because they knew if you have grains and if you have cows, you won't starve in this world. You can live in this world. So such a solid economy it was, based on the grains and the cow. Modern economy is based on stock market prices, isn't it? So every day you have to be in anxiety how to eat next day. Whether the stock shares will collapse and next day all your money becomes useless one day. Prabhupada used to say this very often, that this plastic money and this paper notes, he said, as long as you have that, you will have the anxiety, he said. Because you have to have the anxiety. Because after all, everyone in this world has to eat. This is our major requirement. And plastic money and banknotes, you can't eat. So there is no question of stocking them up. Apparently in the Second World War, after the war, there was such an inflation. And the in Germany, particularly the Deutschmark, they lost its whole currency value. And millions of Deutschmark was thrown away in the street. The whole thing collapsed overnight. The whole economy collapsed like that. So many people became poor overnight. In America, you know that during the stock market crisis, that the prices dropped for the shares. And many, many people, because of the anxiety they created because of the stock market, they jumped through the window outside and killed themselves. This is history. Happened in Japan, happened in America. And they say that this is the most solid economy. Economy is growing at 6% a year. What more do you want? So this is the modern economy. And that economy was not growing, but nobody has any anxiety about it. As long as you had harvested grains and you had the cows at home, you don't need to have any anxiety. What is the anxiety in life about? All the other anxiety we have created. Krishna didn't create it. Krishna never told us that you do all these things and then get yourself in trouble. We created this. Krishna's economy is very simple economy. It runs very well. Crisis doesn't build up there. But even these simple things is difficult for the highly educated economists to come to terms with. They have brought in so many high qualifications, MBAs and this and that, to study about the economy and how to create more difficulty for ordinary people to live in this world. So this is our advanced economy. But their economy, which was we considered as very primitive, because these people say today, if you talk to economists, they will say, what kind of economy is this? You have a lot of grains at home. And you have, where is your BMW? You don't have any car to travel. You don't have any aeroplanes. You don't have any of these modern things. Just plenty of grains at home. Is that an economy, they say to you. So this is the brain. What can you do with such brains? So anyway, the Krishna's case was this. Krishna went in, didn't find anything, managed to get a few grains from somewhere, took it in his hands and came out from inside. When he came out in that process, because he was so small that he had to cross over the the doors and all, in that process he has to put his hand on the ground while crossing over, just like the small children do. While Krishna was coming out, his hands got open and all, everything fell off on the way. So by the time Krishna got to this old lady, there was nothing virtually there in the hand. It was totally empty. But still, Krishna thought that there is something, showed both the hands into the basket where she had these fruits inside, in there. So when when Krishna put everything inside, she took four fruits and put two on either hand. And Krishna took all the four fruits and couldn't handle any more. And still, Krishna was looking at the basket. At that time, what was the thought that was going through Krishna's heart? Krishna was thinking like this, that this lady who had come here with these fruits, Krishna was seeing her heart at that time. That she had she was not bothered whether there were any grains or not. All she wanted was to give the fruits to Krishna. And in spite of that difficulty she was going through, she had no money. And she has told Krishna that Krishna asked her that, how much did you buy these fruits for? The old lady said, I didn't buy them. I picked them in the forest. I didn't buy them. I picked them. And all for me, I have to bring it here and sell it. And if I get a few paisa or whatever that is, cash, I'll take it and then I will buy some from food and eat it. This was what she was. And in that heart, she was willing to offer this to Krishna. That was her heart. You see, that she has not thought even for a second about herself, about her hunger, about her food at home. All she wanted was to give it to Krishna somehow. That was the beauty of Krishna. That Krishna's beauty has attracted her so much that she kept thinking, what a good fortune of the mother of this boy. That is what she was thinking all the time. And she wanted to give everything to Krishna, but only Krishna could carry four. So, jokingly, they also say that Krishna asked her, what is the fruit? She said, it is Sitaphal. So Krishna asked him, apparently, where is Ramaphal? So it seems that Krishna has remembered that Ramachandra's appearance at that time, that I have come before as Ramachandra and Sita Devi. And Sita Devi's memory came up to Krishna. And Krishna thought for a second that Krishna, this lady has reminded me of Sita Devi. Who is Sita Devi? Sita Devi is Mahalakshmi. So let her have as much as she wants. The moment she saw inside was, in her basket was completely flooded with jewels, jewelry and so many valuable stones, everything on the basket. And she took the basket and Krishna had to look at her only once. By now, the old lady has changed her figure completely. She has become young and she has become very healthy and good looking. A beautiful lady she became. She put the basket on her head and went home. And when she went home and when she left Krishna, Krishna was satisfied with these four fruits what Krishna has given to him. And when she went home, what she saw there were, her house was replaced with a palace there, with facilities to store all the jewels and the other things. And this new beautiful young lady, she was given such a mercy by Krishna on that day. Why? For one reason only, that her heart has touched Krishna. Krishna was touched by her desire to serve him even without expecting anything in return. She was starving. She had no idea what she was going to eat in the evening. There was nothing available. And still, in spite of that, in that extreme poverty, she was trying to please Krishna with her fruits. And that affected Krishna so much that Krishna wanted her to go back with this special mercy. That is why it is said there, Virajita bhayam vrishni dhuryade charanami yusham samsrudair bhayal karasaroruham kandagamadam shirasi dehina shri karagraham. That Shri Karagraham, Mahalakshmi's hand, what has been touched by Krishna, that hand you should come and put it on top of us. Gopis were not asking for wealth. Gopis were only saying to Krishna, come and touch us and come back to us. That was the gopis' prayer to Krishna.
Virajida bhayam vrishni dhuryade charanamiyusham samsrudeir bhayal karasaroruham kandagamadam shirasidehina shri karagraham.
In another instance, it was the same hand. You can see that beauty of that Krishna's hand. This is what that verse is talking about. What is the speciality of Krishna's hand? Later on, much later, when Krishna was living in Dwaraka, once Brahmana Sudama Vipra came to see Krishna, isn't it? When Sudama Vipra came there, Sudama brought with him Prathakadandulan, that flattened rice, which was packed and given to him by his wife. Grihe Kalyani Diyadam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam says like that. The wife of Sudama, who was so poor, they were both so poor, and they were fasting days together. They could indeed, because they were so poor. But they had such great devotee he was, that he did not mind even if there was no food. That is the difference between Sudama and us. Sudama, for days together without prasadam, he can go on. For us, if we don't get the next prasadam, our Krishna consciousness will change. It will show its true colors at that time. This is what we have to learn from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us so many things like this, that if you want to become a devotee of Krishna, don't better not to advertise as devotees ourselves. Because devotees are Sudama and others. They are devotees. And the gopis, they are devotees of Krishna. And this old lady, they are devotees. Why? Because they have devotion for Krishna. They have love for Krishna. They have attachment for Krishna. They cannot forget Krishna even for a second in their life. This is Krishna consciousness. So, although it was like this, Sudama Vipra brought with him this flattened rice with him. And when he saw the palace, Rukmini's palace, and the opulences in the palace, Sudama felt very shy. How can I give this to Krishna, who lives like a king in these big, huge palaces with so many, 16,000 palaces and 16,000 wives, and I brought this flat rice to give it to him. So he kept it under his armpit. He didn't want to take it out from there. But the moment Krishna's hand touched that, Krishna wanted to have it straight away. He said, this is more tasty than for me than anything else what's elsewhere. So Rukmini used to prepare nice prasadam for Krishna. But Krishna told Rukmini once that, can you prepare something like Sudama has prepared for me? This is what Krishna is. What does Krishna want in this world? Millions and millions of universes coming from Krishna. What can please Krishna? What can we offer to Krishna? We can't offer anything to Krishna. But all what you can offer to Krishna is this love, love and affection, what Sudama and the gopis and these great devotees have shown for Krishna. So exactly the same thing happened here, that this hand, as soon as it touched flat rice, immediately Sudama's life also changed. So these things are known to gopis, that this hand has got that special capacity. That is why it is mentioned in there.
Virajida bhayam vrishni dhuryade charanamiyusham samsrudeir bhayal karasaroruham kandagamadam shirasidehina shri karagraham.
Shri karagraham, Mahalakshmi's hand has been touched, held by that hand, Krishna's hand. How can that hand go in another way? The hand is to just touch something, it will change. Its destiny will change. So the gopis are remembering these things and mentioning it to Krishna like this.
Virajida bhayam rishni dhuryade charanamiyusham samsrudeir bhayal karasaroruham kandakamadam shirasidehina shri karagraham. Shirasidehina shri karagraham.
Please bring your hand and touch it on our head on the top. Like this one gopi said.
Karasaroruham.
Krishna's hand is compared to a lotus flower. Everything is lotus flower. Krishna's hand is like a lotus flower. Why is it like a lotus flower? Gopis were saying, analyzing this also. Then in the earlier we were mentioning that Nakhalu gobiga nandano bhavan. In that verse, it's also there implied that lotus flower, when it comes out in the tank or in the lakes and the lilies, generally everyone takes advantage of it. Who? The bees will come and they will start eating the dust from inside. They enjoy that. The swans, they will go in the lake and they will move around this lotus. Sometimes they eat the stem of the lotus also. And then the frogs and the fish, everything, they move around the lotus. They enjoy that. And everybody enjoys the lotus flower. The sight of a lotus flower, when it is fully bloomed, when the sun comes out in the morning, the lotus opens up. And when the lotus opens up, and when it looks so beautiful at that time in the sunshine, that is what it is. So in other words, when the lotus flower appears in the lake, everyone gets a benefit. Everybody enjoys that. But why is that? The gopi said to Krishna, you have appeared among us, but we are not able to have your association. Why we can't enjoy you? Why this situation has happened? That is what they were implying there. Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan ahila dehinam andaral madrik vihana sarthido vishwaguptaye sakhamudeyivan sattvadam kuleyum. That you have appeared among us, no doubt about it. You are one among us. But why is that we alone cannot have you with us? And because that is what all we wanted from you. We wanted your presence with us. And you have looked after, protected us and maintained us so many ways. And gopis started reminding this to Krishna at that time. Krishna is sitting there and listening to all these things.
Karasaroruham kandakamadam shirasi dehina shri karagraham.
Kanda means, kanda has many meanings. One who is able to fulfill the desires. And kandakamadam, that whatever desires, that is Krishna's duty to fulfill them. And Krishna should have done that. Why Krishna hasn't done that? That's why they were asking that question.
Karasaroruham kandakamadam shirasi dehina shri karagraham.
That Shirasi Dehina Shri Karagraham, put your hand on top of us and give us that benediction or mercy and come in front of us. In other words, that's what the gopis were saying. But prior to that, gopis mentioned something else. That's a very important line. What was that?
Virachida bhayam vrishni suryade charanami yusham samsrudair bhayal.
Anyone who falls into fear, distress in this world, what kind of distress? Who does not have distress in this world? Is there anybody without any distress in this world? So the sages and the great authorities of the transcendental knowledge, they have divided this distress into three categories. You may wonder why they have divided distress into so many categories. On the other hand, we don't want to hear about distress, isn't it? We want to hear different types of happiness available in this world. But Vedic literature is all talking about different kinds of distress available in this world. About happiness, no, there is no happiness. They have written it off. This is their conclusion. And this puts us into a dilemma, isn't it? We start thinking, and some people start saying, oh, Vedic literature is all very negative. It is always discouraging you. You can't enjoy this world. Prabhu, don't read Srimad Bhagavatam. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you won't be able to enjoy this world. So better not to read it. Keep your eyes closed. And if somebody is reading Srimad Bhagavatam, ignore them, because that person has nothing else to do in this world, so he's reading Srimad Bhagavatam. This is their attitude. But if you understand this one line, Virachita bhayam vrishni dhuryade charanami yusham samsrudair bhayal. Samsrudair bhayal, fear from samsaram, material existence. If one has that fear, then for him the shelter is Krishna. This is what the gopis said. Now, look at the gopis' intelligence. They never studied anything. They didn't study any shastram. They didn't go to study Vedanta philosophy or anything like that. But the words they have spoken, Saraswati Devi, Goddess Saraswati, staying on their tongue, made them to speak these things. Why? Because generally, all the distress is classified in the Vedic literature as Tapatrayam. If you look, Srimad Bhagavatam begins with this, Tabatrayo Unmulanam. That is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma Projita Kaidavotra Baramo Narmat Saranam Sadam Vedyam വാസ്തവം അത്ര വസ്തുശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. താപത്രയം ഉന്മൂലനം. ഉന്മൂലനം മീൻസ് കംപ്ലീറ്റ്ലി ഇറാഡിക്കേറ്റിംഗ് ദി താപത്രയം. താപത്രയം മീൻസ് ആധ്യാത്മികം, ആദിഭൗതികം ആൻഡ് ആദിദൈവികം. ദീസ് ആർ ദ ത്രീ ടൈപ്സ് ഓഫ് ഡിസ്ട്രസ്സസ് വാട്ട് വി ഹാവ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. എവറി ഡിസ്ട്രസ് ഈസ് പുട്ടിൻ ടു ദീസ് ത്രീ ഡിഫറെന്റ് കോളംസ്. ദർ ഇസ് നോ അതർ ഡിസ്ട്രസ് ഔട്ട്സൈഡ് ദിസ്. ആധ്യാത്മികം മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വിച്ച് ഈസ് റിലേറ്റഡ് ടു which is related to our insight, that means our mind, anything that comes from our mind. How much distress people go through from the mind, I don't know whether you have seen this. In fact, adhyatmikam, adibhaudikam and adidevikam. Adidevikam is the ones like these floods, drought, cyclone, earthquake, these things, all these things. So now something is going on in Jamaica. The television news shows like that, or paper news, radio news, all talks about it. Millions have been thrown out from their homes. They have to find a place of residence. So like this, constantly it is coming one after the other in this world. That is the adibhaudigam. Adidevigam. Adibhaudigam is that which is affecting us from the other living entities who gives us trouble somehow or the other. Even if you have not done anything to them, they'll give you some trouble and go. This is their happiness. They get some pleasure from that. You may not have done anything to them, but still they think that you can keep this also. Have some more from my side. You can have this. So they'll offer you some pleasure like this, and they will go. They'll go away after a while. They won't stay there permanently. This is called adibhaudigam. It can be from other animals also. It's majority of cases, more than animals today, you have to worry about the human beings. It is they who contribute a lot of it to in your life. So, adibhaudigam, adidevigam. And then there is the adhyalmigam. So, adhyalmigam is from inside, from the mind, what originates from there. So, that problems, there is not much easier solution. That when that sometimes it takes away your mind, it controls your mind so much, that you are helpless about it. All you can do is to pay your obeisances to Krishna and ask for shelter. So these are the three kinds of distress. There is no other distress outside this. Sometimes people fall into different kinds of distress, and you will see that the kind of distress in this world, if you clearly observe them, you can see that where is the solution to this problem. You'll start thinking like that. Sometimes some people, they can't eat anything. At home, everything is there. Everything is prepared nicely. But he cannot eat. Why? As soon as the food goes in, it won't digest inside. There is some problem with digestion. Or something like that. He has got all the desires to eat. Strong desire inside to eat nice prasadam. But can't eat. Why? The body won't accept it. What can you do? And then you are taking this tablet, this medicine, that medicine. So many things goes on year after year. Sometime better, sometime worse. Like this it goes on. So many people in that same situation. Charanamiyusham samsrader bhayal. Another situation. Sometimes it's illness. Illness in the body, different kinds of illnesses. Sometimes so many other problems apart from the other personalities who have imposed upon you. Charanamiyusham samsrader bhayal. That all this fear start accumulating inside. This is called material existence. This is called material existence. In the Shastram, in particularly in the Vedic science, this samsaram or this word material existence, you will find very often used everywhere. We also sing that prayer. Samsara sagare magnam dinam mam karunanidhe. So this understanding has to come to us. Why are we suffering? First of all, we are not even convinced we are suffering. What to talk about? Why are we suffering? Why are we suffering comes later. But first of all, you have to know that you are suffering. And this is the importance of spiritual life. Unless you are convinced that you are suffering, you won't know that you are suffering. You are just thinking everything is wonderful in this world. This is our perception. But Vedic knowledge is for this purpose, to bring this understanding to us that you are suffering. We'll come to that. Today we'll only discuss about suffering, nothing else. Because it is necessary. It's necessary to know what is going on with ourselves. In the Vedic philosophy, that the Vedic this is why Vedic knowledge is perfect in its analysis of life. Generally, we say, what is life? If you ask somebody what's life, the time we have got this gross body, this material body, gross body, is called birth. The day we leave this gross body is called death. And this time between this accepting the gross body and leaving the gross body is called life in this world, isn't it? That's our normal, anybody in this world, even great professors from university, they'll tell you, what's life? They'll talk about it like this. Their understanding of life is this. Anybody, for that, my president, prime minister, any great personality in this world, they'll only say life means from birth to death. But Vedas are saying that this short period of time you are here in this gross body is only a fraction of what your existence is. In other words, long, long ago, when you started accepting this gross body and the subtle bodies, you have started your journey in this material world. This is the beauty of Vedic philosophy. Vedic philosophy will give you a full understanding of what's happening before, what's happening after death. And so that is why the life after death is an important topic to study and to analyze and keep it in one's mind all the time. If you do not study it and if you do not think about it, then Krishna consciousness will not grow inside. It's an absolute necessity to know that how much distress is one is exposed to from the day we have accepted this gross body and the subtle bodies also. Now, the acceptance of the gross body and the rejection of the gross body is called death in this world. But normally what you have to understand is that we are not only this gross body. Gross body is an external dress that has come to us. Inside this gross body, there are other two bodies more which exist along with us. We are identified as the spirit soul. The spirit soul has three bodies outside. And accordingly, because there is no knowledge in the material world, and they are not willing to take this from the authorities of the Vedic tradition, they keep on researching. What researching will help? When Krishna is saying there, Jagrat Swapna Sushuptim Cha, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, three states of existence. And in these three states of existence, three bodies also. This is how Krishna has given us the information. And you can see this by practical experience, still they will not accept it. This is the problem. For example, this gross body, what we have here, is totally busy in the Jagrat state, isn't it? In Jagrat states, what do? In the vacant state, you are busy dealing with this world, very busy, running here, running there, doing this, doing that, this project, that project. So much project management going on everywhere. So what is going on is, in the Jagrat state, all you are doing is, with your gross body and the senses and the mind, you are busy with the external world. That's what you are doing. But as soon as you are, after working some time, you get tired and you sat down and you slept off. By chance, I'm saying you just slept off. And when you sleep off, what happens is that your gross body is gone. Where is the gross body then? You are not identifying with the gross body anymore. Your identification has moved away from the gross body to what is known as the subtle body, which is the main place of residence of the mind. And that is why in the subtle body you start dreaming. So as soon as you start dreaming, suppose you were dreaming at that state when you fell asleep, what's going on at that point is your bodily identification with the gross body has gone totally and you are identifying with the mind at that time, because that is the place of residence of the soul at that time. It is in that mind it occupies. So Jagrat state, the vacant state. Dream state is the state where the mind is busy. And similarly, at some point in time, when you go into deep sleep, you leave the mind as well somewhere. Just like you left your gross body, now you leave your mind as well and you go into what is known as Sushupti. So in that Sushupti state, or in the deep sleep condition, you lose your identity with even with the subtle body. So that deep sleep state, or the state where which is known as Karana Shariram, Stulam, Sushmam and Karanam, these are the names in the Shastram. Stula Shariram, Sushma Shariram and Karana Shariram. So once you go into Karana Shariram, or the causal body as it is translated, in the Karana Shariram, you do not even experience the presence of the mind. You have left your mind also, and the soul is in total ignorance. Complete ignorance it is experiencing at that point. So, where is the soul going at different times? In the Jagrat state, it is staying in the gross body and showing its function through the gross body. In the dream state, it is showing its function through the dream body. And in the deep sleep, it is showing its function through the causal body or Karana Shariram. Three different bodies, three different states of existence. Me, the soul, is passing through this back and forth all the time. It is the greatest foolishness to think that it is only Jagrat states that is important. All the other two states are not important because there is no knowledge about it. They are thinking, oh, you dream because of the mind you are dreaming. And even even they have some conclusions. They are now studying, finding out what is causing the dream. They are trying to find out that. So this is their stage of experiment at the moment. Where these dreams are coming from and what's causing the dreams. This is how they are analyzing. So you can see from this that knowledge is something which you have to take it from Krishna. You have no other choice in this. And again, Krishna is explaining to us, try to understand what you are. That you are not this gross body alone. Inside this, you have the subtle body as well as the causal body, or the sulam, sushmam and karanam. Three bodies are present in every one of us. And foolishly we think, accepting this gross body as birth and leaving this gross body as death. Okay, that is fine. That everybody is seeing every day. Where is the importance of that? So, in order to free oneself from this, that one has to, when one leaves the body, what does these three bodies mean? These three bodies mean actually, in the gross body, you are functioning in this world with the different senses. That is your main tool at that time. But as soon as you go into the dream body, what is active at that point in time, or what is where the soul has got the capacity to function, is within the subtle body, which is the mind, false ego, and which is where the soul is able to function itself. And as soon as it leaves the subtle body, when it goes to the causal body or Karana Shariram, it leaves these two and become totally in falls into ignorance. So from here you can see one thing, that the liberation means actually it's not leaving this gross body. Gross body leaving is not liberation. Actual liberation is leaving the subtle body and the causal body, getting out of that. So gross body nobody has to tell us how to get out of it. We know it will go one day, its own way. You don't have to put special effort for that. It'll happen on its own. But the other two, they follow you. They don't leave you. They go along with you. And it is those two bodies that is causing all the problems to us. In other words, when you leave this gross body, as soon as you accept your next body, that which has followed you along with that is the subtle body and the causal body. And as long as they are there with you, you have to change your body. You have no freedom. That is the rule. That is the law. Krishna's law is like that. 8.4 million different species of life. You have to accept different bodies. As soon as you leave this gross body, another body is prepared for you. But we think that, oh, I'm dead and I'm gone back to heaven. I'm finished everything now. I'm finished. This is my ignorance. And this is a clear indication of how much ignorance we have fallen into. That the person is totally identifying with his gross body and thinking that this is everything. So you can imagine how deep that ignorance is in us. That we are able to devote 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and throughout life just to maintain this gross body. Is there any more proof required to tell anyone how much in ignorance we are? this bodily concept of life means, from the Vedic point of view, is nothing but ignorance. Anyone, that is why Vedavyasa Maharshi uses very, very, very strong words in the Bhagavatam when he talks about such people. What does he say? He says there that
yasya atma buddhi kunape tridhaduge sodhi kalatradishu bhauma ijyadi yatirtha buddhi salilena karhijil janeshu abhijneshu sa eva gokharaham.
That he says there that yasya atma buddhi kunape tridhaduge, a bag containing three things. Kunape tridhadu, tridhadu means vadam, pitam and kapham, air, bile and mucus. That is the way they analyze the body. And it is a bag of these three things.
Sodhi kalatra dishubhaumai jyadi.
One identifies with one's body and thinks himself the land of birth, as he belongs to that land. Because this body I got from that place, so I should belong to that earth. That's my place of birth. Identify with that.
Sodhi kalatra dishubhaumai jyadi yatirtha buddhi salilena karhichil.
That he goes to the places of holy places. People go to holy places for what? To bathe in the rivers. And after that they perform some ceremony and they think that, oh, I have purified all my sins now. I am free now. I can go and continue start the sinning again after that. So one year goes to Ganges, the filthy, make the Ganges more filthy, and then come back and then accumulate more filth for the next visit.
So, yatirtha buddhi salilena karhichil.
This is the Tirthabuddhi. Tirthabuddhi means to think that all these water, holy waters, are only places for my cleaning the body of sins.
Ya Tirthabuddhi salilena karhijil. Vedavya says there, janeshum,
such people, abhijneshum, all the learned people call them as sa eva gokharaha. They are no different. Their intelligence is not better than the cows and the asses. He says, very, very strong words he uses there. Now, even after using such strong words, it's not changing anything. So what do you do then? That such strong words Vedavyasa is saying there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And here we are thinking how intelligent we are. We have got such a high salary. I got such a big house to live in. And I got so many friends, so many bank balance, so much bank balance. This, that and the other. I am this, I am that. And so much pride builds up in all this. But when it comes to spiritual knowledge, it's a big zero. There is no understanding of anything about it. No realization has come to him. Throughout life he has been doing different things. Sometimes takes to spiritual life also. Such people take to spiritual life also for show or for some benefit for themselves. This is their spiritual life. When they come to spiritual life, they are also thinking that I will execute my spiritual life nicely. And holds the beads back, chants whole lifetime. They have been chanting. But at the end of the day, no consciousness of the self. What was the use? You know what Krishna says about them? Shramastasya shramabhalam. The whole lifetime he has chanted, that's the profit, he says. Nothing else. You have not gained anything. Because ultimately, after doing all these things, if one has not developed one's own spiritual identity as spirit soul, or he's got out of this materially bodily concept of life, what has he gained in spiritual life? You have gone to the temple. You have done everything what you can. You have seen the deity. You have performed so much austerities and penances. But at the end, if the spiritual knowledge hasn't developed, what was the benefit from that? Shramastasya shramabhalam. Krishna says to Uddhava that all these are considered in that category. That there is nothing you have gained from that. All it's a simple waste of time. That so here also in the same way, it is said here that
virachita bhayam rishni dhuryade charanami yusham samsradeer bhayal.
Samsradeer bhayal, samsaram, the fear from material existence. What is that fear? So we're talking about these three bodies, and we also talked about the subtle body and the causal body which is in us. Now, this change of body, what happens? Gross body will go, but the other two bodies, how to get out of it? This is what is holding the soul into this material world. The gross subtle body and the causal body. That is our main problem. How to come out of that? That is our main topic of discussion today. How to come out of these two bodies? This is our main problem. In order to understand that, you have to know what actually causes these two bodies inside. The causal body, it is the subtle body, which is consistent with the combination of mind, intelligence and the false ego. This subtle body is caused by what is known as vasanas, or our propensities, which are known as sanchidam. Sanchidam means which are accumulated vasanas or accumulated impressions or propensities or whatever way you like to call it. So the accumulated impressions and propensities which is within us, that is what is creating this subtle body. And the subtle body won't go away unless and until all these vasanas have gone, all these impressions have gone away from the mind. And we do not even know how much is there, and we do not even know where they are, when they will go, and how long it will take, and how to get out of it. We have no idea about all these things, number one. Number two, if you go into the next body, you're talking about the karana shariram or causal body, there the problem is something more than this. Problem there is, it is coming from avidya. Avidya means ignorance. You can imagine very well that always you are thinking, understanding theoretically, I'm not this body. But when it comes to day-to-day life, you are not able to act on this platform, isn't it? None of us. All of us have the same problem. Almost all of us we have. Why we have this problem? Why we are saying that I'm not this body, but as soon as something happens to the body, you're so concerned about it. Why is that happening? Avidya. That is the cause of that. Ignorance. And this thing called ignorance is one in everyone. But everybody shares that. That is why in that prayers to spiritual master, it says there, Ajnanatamirandasya. Ajnanam. Ajnanam means ignorance. That ignorance has come in so strongly that I am not able to see this fundamental truth, what Krishna is saying there in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that you are not this body. Krishna is saying this, we are reading it, we are memorizing it, we are chanting it, but we are as we are. Nothing has changed. So why? Ajnanenavrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jandavaham. If you look at nadatte kashyachil pavam nachaiva sukrutim vibhu ajnanenavrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jandavaham. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna about this, that unless and until you get out of the ignorance, there is no question of you escaping from this condition, he says to Arjuna. And when you read this verse, you are thinking, where am I in ignorance? I have complete understanding. What's wrong with me? Krishna, only Krishna knows what our situation is. Krishna says to Arjuna that to consider, to get this point across, how much Krishna has put the effort to Arjuna, to get this point across to Arjuna. Nadatte kasya jilpavam nachaiva sukrutim vibhu ajnanena vrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jandavaham. Tena muhyanti jandavaham. Every living entity, Krishna says, is covered by ignorance. That is Krishna. This is why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who can speak like this? Who can say to the world, every living entity is covered in ignorance? Krishna is not looking for a Nobel Prize from anybody. Ajnanena vrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jandavaham. Every living entity is covered by ignorance, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Nadatte kasya jilpavam. Living entity is thinking, I've got this sinful reaction because of my sinful activities. Krishna says, I don't give sin or piousness to anybody. It is not me. It is he himself creates that. It's not nadatte kasya jilpavam na chaiva sukrutim vibhum. Krishna is not giving anything good also to anybody. He himself acquired this. So now when Krishna says that, you have to understand, so where are we acquiring? This is what is called as karma. The power of karma in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. If you understand what Krishna is saying there, the importance of that, and the importance of purifying this karma, we are all caught up in this big network of karma, unable to come out of it, which is known as this special title given to us as karma mandalam. Karma mandalam means that phase from which you cannot escape. It is such a powerful web. No www, it's bigger than any www. It is such a powerful web, you are in that. These are the subtle things of spiritual life. Unless and until one is clear in one's own mind that what Krishna is saying here, it is very difficult to understand what his material existence means. Ajnanena avrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jandavaham. Tadbuddhaya tadatmanam tannishtha talparayana gacchanti avunaravartim jnana nirdhuta kalmashaham. Immediately after that, Krishna says to Arjuna, that Arjuna, if you want to come out of this ignorance, there is only one way, and that is talbuddhaya tadatmanam tannishtha talparayana gacchanti avunaravartim jnana nirdhuta kalmashaham. That if you want to free yourself from this ignorance, You have to come to spiritual life and follow this process. So now you can see what Krishna means. Krishna is saying that you are in ignorance. First of all, we have to accept what Krishna says. If you say to Krishna, Krishna, I am not in ignorance. I am fully realized. I know everything what goes. Then Krishna can help us. But if Krishna, when you accept that, what Krishna is saying there, that tadbuddhaya tadalmanam, the necessity of cultivating spiritual life to come out of ignorance. All the time, the intelligence is focused in Krishna consciousness. Tadalmanam, the mind, also has to be focused in Krishna consciousness. Tanmishta, not only focusing, 24 hours, it has to be fixed up in that consciousness. Talparayana, that always surrender to Krishna. Looking to Krishna for help to come out of this ignorance. Otherwise, you can't come out from this ignorance. This is liberation means. And when Krishna helps like that, you can come out of this causal body, this karana shariram. That is where the difficulty is. The karana shariram will drop off one day when that mercy comes from Krishna. That is why avidya is the cause of everything. Avidya means ignorance. So, tad buddhaya tad almanam tan nishta talparayana. That gachandi abunaravartim. Abunaravarti means that you go back. You don't have to come back again. This is the what is called liberation. Gachandi abunaravartim jnana nirdhuda kalmashaham. That jnanam, knowledge has developed and the sinful reactions have gone away from the heart. There is no more identification with the material body or with the material world. The soul is liberated. That stage it comes to. So Krishna has spoken all these things in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, although he has spoken that, we are not able to realize it. That is our main problem. So you can see that the subtle body and the causal body, the two major problems what we have, is when you are released from these two bodies, then immediately you are back in the spiritual world. That is the time when you come out of the material world. Otherwise, you are here till you are finished with these three things. So, no matter how much. So, the technique of how to do that is what is we are discussing today. And the three things, what is required for that, as Srimad Bhagavatam says in the beginning, is devotion, knowledge, and renunciation. Without these three things, you can't do that. These are the three keys for coming out of these two, subtle body and causal body. So therefore, you will see in the Bhagavatam that in the beginning itself, it mentions there that Srimad Bhagavatam talks about this one thing only. Why? Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin. Where? Paramaham Samegam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyadem. The knowledge that is in the Srimad Bhagavatam is Paramaham Samegam Amalam. It is the Dharmam or Paramahamsa Dharmam. Or that knowledge which is released by Paramahamsas, great souls who have freed themselves from this, or in other words, liberated personalities, who have finished with these three bodies. In other words, Ismin Paramahamsamegamamalam Jnanam Param Giyade. That is the knowledge that is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can see how importance Bhagavatam is giving to that knowledge. It's not giving to any mundane knowledge importance. Mundane knowledge is considered to be no use because mundane knowledge will only create more vasanas. And more vasanas means more subtle bodies. So you can see the danger of mundane knowledge, how it will entangle you in the material world. On the other hand, spiritual knowledge is liberating. Mundane knowledge is entangling in this world. So unless and until we come to clear understanding of the impact of mundane knowledge and spiritual knowledge, that we will not be able to free ourselves from the conditioning of the subtle body and the causal body. So, because it is like that, our question now here is, what do we do for that? Bhakti, jnanam and vairagyam has to come. Vairagyam is necessary because all these vasanas inside the mind is due to our desire for enjoyment. The moment we develop desires for enjoyment, so in order to develop that renunciation and detachment from this world, one has to develop a distaste or a disgust nature with this material world. One has to come to that realization that material world is not something which is worthwhile relishing, or one should develop that attitude to renounce themselves from this material world. It is an absolute necessity because it is such understanding that will develop renunciation, detachment and knowledge. along with that, and in the, finally devotion from that. So for various reasons, Shastra says there that these are the ways by which you can get out of these two other bodies. And when you are freed from the other two bodies, then you are released from this cycle. We have spoken about this before. I think it was in September 2002 when we discussed the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We spoke about this in detail. So I will not go too much into detail into it today because it's already there. And those about 5 hours we talked about this, the process of life after death, how that happens. But I'll very briefly cover that up to bring us to this understanding that why this existence is simply distress, simply misery. To bring us to that point, Shastra is saying there that, so, now, gopis were saying that, virajida bhayam rishni dhuryade charanami yusham samsrudeir bhayal. Samsrudeir bhayal, that means fear from material existence. Now, gopis had the fear of material existence. They knew these things. That is why they had, they were able to speak like this. Why? Because when we leave this gross body, at the time when we leave this gross body, the spirit soul leaves the body. In everyone's case, the spirit soul leaves the body along with the subtle body and the causal body, and it goes to what is known as Pretalokam, the world where we don't have a gross body. We exist in it. It is enveloping this earthly planet. It's all a subtle world. It's a subtle world. For example, according to the Puranas, out of the 14 planetary systems in this universe, except the earthly planet, every other planets are subtle planets. For example, there is Atalam, Vitalam, Sudalam, Talatalam, Rasatalam, Mahatalam and Padalam. 7 planets underneath, Bhuvarlokam, Surlokam, Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tapolokam and Satyalokam on the top. So total 14 of them. And the upper planetary systems are the higher planets. Janalokam, Tapolokam and Satyalokam are known as Jnanamandalam. Jnanamandalam means unless you are free, completely finished with your karma, you can't enter there. Therefore, it is called Jnanamandalam. Below that, you have got Maharlokam, which is on the border between the Jnanamandalam and Karma Mandalam. And it is in that border, in that planet, that you finally clear up your complete karma before you go into the phase of knowledge or Jnanamandalam. But below that, once you come below the Maharlokam, you have got Bhulokam, Bhuvarlokam, Surlokam. That means earthly planet, Bhuvarlokam and the Surlokam, heavenly planets, and below all the Patala Lokas. When the soul leaves the body, it goes into the ghostly world, which is known as the Pretalokam, surrounding this earthly planet. And it stays there for a certain period of time, depending on the activities of that particular living entity in this world. The beauty of all this is that Earth is the only planet where you have a possibility of changing your destiny. That is why earthly planet is so important. Because in earthly planet alone, you have a gross body. And in earthly planet alone, you can perform karma, and the results of karma you can enjoy or suffer accordingly. For example, if you have executed so many pious activities, you have gone to the heavenly planets. Once you finish your heavenly enjoyment or heavenly pleasures, you come back to this world again and accept another body and create more karma for the next body. So like this, everything is already set. The rules are already there. You can't change it. And we, a living entity who have come here into this universe, we are wandering in this from top to bottom in different conditions and in different bodies. That is our freedom, that you can keep changing the body and move from one to another. So when it goes to the Pretalokam, where it stays for a few days, this is normally the time, because generally we do not know, we cannot judge a person's destination simply by our own mind. And that is the reason that during that time, when the soul leaves the body for the first 10 days, 12 days, 15 days, the relatives of that personality who left this world, they perform some voluntarily certain austerities and penances here in order to get the soul away from that ghostly world, from the Pretalokam. Why? Once it goes there, what happens is he doesn't have a gross body there. But at the same time, he has got all the desires inside. Hunger he feels, and he also feels everything in the body. All these desires are coming from inside, but at the same time doesn't have a gross body to fulfill everything, so he suffers heavily there. So in order that, so the prayer at that time, 10, 12, 12, 15 days is, somehow or the other to get him released from that condition, either to the Pitralokam or to the higher planets, to the Bhuvalokam, Swarlokam, wherever he is destined to go. So normally those who have executed spiritual life seriously and those who have taken Krishna's instructions in these matter properly and conducted themselves, generally they do not get stuck there in the Pratyalokam. They go through that. They have to go through, but they don't last there very long. It's a very short time. They just pass through that. But you do not know what will happen to anyone's case. It's very difficult to say whether that will go to the from Pratyalokam, it will go to Pitralokam, or whether it will go to the higher planets, it's unknown to us. So therefore, when the soul leaves that ghostly world, sometimes it goes to Pitralokam, or sometimes it goes to the higher planetary system. Krishna has explained this in the Bhagavad Gita, two processes, you can read there, Devayanam and Pitriyanam. You will find them, not much detail explained, because these things are known to everybody those days, so that is why it's not explained there. But the complete description of the movement of the soul as soon as it leaves the body and its journey through all these different conditions is what is discussed in the Brahma Sutram. Brahma Sutram will talk to you about all these things. Great Acharyas have, on these issues, they all have agreement on that. There is no disagreement on that. They all accept that this is the path of the soul, what it takes after leaving the body. So when it goes to Pratyalokam, it suffers there. Actually, if it's stuck there, then it suffers. So the prayer here from the so-called relatives or whoever is here is praying and performing austerities so that he is released from there, because he can't do anything on his own. Here, the people who are left behind, they have to help him to come out of that situation. Or if he has executed pious life in this world without entangling too much in the sinful activities of this world, he will come through from that easily. And then he taken to a destination, what is known as Pitralokam. Pitralokam is the, it is difficult to translate this into English, although it is said, it is the land of the forefathers. So he is transferred into Pitralokam, and from Pitralokam, at some point in time, a decision is taken about his next gross body, in which body he has to accept. So during that process, the living entity who is present in the Pitralokam, because it is to be assumed whether we do not know in which direction a particular soul has gone, whether up or down, the relatives at home still perform the Shraddha ceremony for that person who has departed every year. It has to be performed. That is the rule behind. This is the reason why Shraddha ceremony is performed. It is in order to offer to that forefathers who left home and who have either gone to Pitralokam or they have gone to the higher planet. Because we do not know, it has to be performed for everybody. But normal circumstances, when one has advanced enough, he will go through Pratyalokam straight into the higher planets. That is known as Devayanam. Devayanam means that if your spiritual activities in this world were pure, or in other words, you have conducted your spiritual activities in such a way that your journey upwards is, Krishna says this, Urdvam gacchandi sattvastha madhye tishtandi rajasa jaganya gunavrittistho adho gacchandi tamasaha. That they will automatically go up, and that process is called Devayanam. So in the Devayanam process, if one goes up, naturally the thing what's going to happen is that he does not come back again. That means the planet you have left behind, you do not come back to that planet again. That is the benefit of Devayanam. Once you go into Devayanam, there is no rebirth. You go up further from there. You go into probably Mahalokam or Swarlokam and then to Mahalokam, and from there further to Janalokam, Tapolokam, like that upwards. There is no more downward journey. And because there is no downward journey, it is referred to as Devayanam, path of the demigods. It goes up further from there. There is no question of coming back to earthly planet again. But in order to attain to that position, one's own spiritual activities has to be pure. That is why in the Vedic system, there are two kinds of spiritual activities. And both are Vedic. But one will cause Devayanam, other one will cause Pitriyanam. Pitriyanam means you have executed pious activity. You lived a perfect life in this world. Everything was good. And your activities were also spiritual. And you have executed your religious principles according to the Shastra. Everything. But material desires were there very strongly. So the result is that in order to enjoy of your spiritual activities here, you go to the higher planets to relish them or to wipe out what Krishna says, Te dambuktva surgalogam vishalam. that you go to Swargalokam, enjoy all the counteract, all your pious activities here. But when you finish that, you come back to this earthly planet again, and that is Chine Punye Martya Logam Vishandi, that you come back to this earthly planet, that is known as Pitriyanam. And then go back to the this process of coming back to the same planet which you had left before is called Pitriyanam. So that is the two processes, Devayanam and Pitriyanam, discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna speaking to Arjuna about it. So this Devayanam is great. Once you get into Devayanam process, you go further. There is no question of coming back again. There is no necessity to worry about coming back. But Pitriyanam means you still have the problem. That means out of these two Vedic processes, for example, performing Vedic sacrifices. These Vedic sacrifices, that is one type. Vedic sacrifices meant for advancing on the for going up into the heavenly planets and further from there. But often the intention of performing Vedic sacrifices is to get the benefit of enjoying in the heavenly planets. When the great sacrifices were performed, people who are not have that understanding, they performed this, which is known as karmagandam, that they executed this karmagandam in such a way that the desire was to enjoy in heaven, because they were completely enamored by the heavenly happiness, or in other words, the happiness or the sense facilities for sense gratification, the heavenly planets have completely taken over. So the result was that they started thinking that even if I come back, what's the matter? Let me have it. So it is not easy thing to give up this desire for sense gratification. When in the Bhagavatam, at one point Krishna says to Uddhava, that when you are leaving this world, say you are going back to Godhead, on your way, different demigods will invite you to their planets to come and enjoy with them. Because they are thinking like this, demigods are thinking like this. I have been sitting here like a demigod for so long a time. And this person who has come from earthly planet is going to the spiritual world. I am still here. Apparently they become envious of that. And because of that envy, they decide to bring you back. Ittham dodhyana yoge punaranimehama ashta samsiddhiyastha. It says in the Srimad Bhagavatam also about that that there is a possibility that sometimes this can happen. And this is the reality, that you do not know where the soul is going at the time of death. You have no idea what situation it is going to be. One should think these things. What's going to happen after death? Not think that, oh, up to death if everything is okay, that's enough. After that, what happens? Not my problem. This is what we think about it. But Vedic literature says, no, don't think about what is going on in this world. This is only 60, 70, 80 years, it's finished. After that, there is another long journey to travel through. And that is what one should worry about. Not this short period of time. So in order to make us understand to the significance and also the implications of our actions in this world, Krishna has graphically spoken about it in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and in detail in Brahma Sutram. Vedavyasa Maharshi gives in so many commentaries on this Vedanta Sutram or Brahma Sutram and talks about all these things there also. So when the soul leaves the body, he has this choice. He has to go to higher planets or lower planets. If he is extremely sinful after Prayatalokam, you know the destination. Yamadharma Raja invites you straight away, and then you can accept all the other resultant punishments from here. But normally, ordinary people who are chanted the holy name and who have taken a little shelter of Krishna, there is no chance of going to the hellish planets. The possibility is that if the sinful activities were such extreme, only then Yamaraja invites them. Yamadharma Raja has to punish him. Otherwise, the result will be that from Pitriloka, the decision is made what type of next body you should have. For example, the punishment doesn't have to go to for experiencing the punishment. You don't have to go to the hellish planets. There is no need for that. Why? Because even if you get a lower body in this world, that itself is a punishment, isn't it? If you think about a cat's body or a dog's body or any other animal's body, or sometimes even trees and insects, any kind of body can be given in this very earthly planet and finish up your karma in that way. So that is how the beauty of this earthly planet. This is the place, it's called karmam. Karmam is created here, and here also you can wipe out karma. So coming back to this, in the Vedic system, there are these two processes. One is the Yajna Vidhi, performing sacrifices and going up. If the sacrifices were performed without expecting anything in return from the sacrifices, one goes back higher from that, goes out of the karma mandalam, goes away. But that is rare. The second possibility is that other things like japam, dhyanam, deity worship, and all the other sadhanas, association with devotees, visiting holy places, studying shastra, these are all the normal activities of the devotees, isn't it? Now, devotees, this is what they normally do. This is all these kind of different things we do in spiritual life. And purpose of doing all these things is, if I am thinking all the time, somehow or the other, Krishna should give me the lottery this year. And I'm very faithfully, I'm buying the ticket every week. And I'm checking out every Wednesday and Saturday when the number turns out. Has Krishna given me the opportunity now? So like this, if this mentality is there while performing the spiritual activity or with any desire for material enjoyment, then he has to come back. He has no choice. So these are the two types of people who go and come back. And those who have executed all these things purely with the desire to get out of this entanglement of birth and death, he can escape from this. The same activity, chanting the holy name and deity worship and association with the devotees, all these things can help only if the mentality is this, to come out of this cycle of birth and death. That should be the goal. As long as that's not the goal, this activity is going to bring you back here. Maybe you may go to a higher planet, have some good time there. But as soon as the good time is over, come back here again and continue this life here. So the difficulty here is that when the soul left the Prayalogam and goes to the Pitalogam, and from Pitaloga the decision is taken that at such and such a time the next gross body has to be provided. And in order to do that, all he has got with him is his subtle body and the causal body. With these two bodies, he is going up. He has gone up. And when he gets to the, when he goes up, the decision is taken. Before he comes here, he has to get what is known as the process is called Panchikaranam. Panchikaranam means, you see the five senses. They are present in the form of what is known as Tanmatra. Tanmatra, I don't know the English word for all these things. The Tanmatras, all these words are so much spiritually meaningful and so much pregnant with spiritual understanding of life. In another language, it's very difficult to find an equivalent word for that. So anyway, just remember this at this time. They are called Tanmatras. Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam and Gandham. The five different senses, what is experienced through these five different sense objects, how we experience that. So in order to develop the gross senses here, before we come to this earthly planet, the soul has to go to the place what is known as the lunar phase or Chandramandalam. That is the area covering the moon planet. All these are subtle planets where the soul gets in. And it is during that process it acquires what is known as the Tanmatras. When the Tanmatras have received, the soul is ready to come back here to this earthly planet again. And it gets a body in the womb of a mother. In the womb of a mother. But before it gets into the mother, it comes to the father's, enters into father's body, either through the air, water or the food what he has taken. The soul enters into the father who is qualified to become the father of that new soul which is coming from the Chandramandalam. This is how that process works. As soon as he enters into the father's body, then through the semen enters into the mother's womb, and who is qualified to become a mother. And that is why that is mentioned like this, that the as soon as the male sperm and the female sperm, or the spirit soul and the female sperm mixes together, within 3 days in the womb, the process begins. In 3 days' time, it becomes budbhudam. It is referred like that in the Bhagavadam. And then in 7 days' time, it becomes a bubble. And in about 2 weeks' time or so, it started slowly building up into a small piece of flesh inside the womb of the mother. So first it is a piece of flesh that develops. And into that piece of flesh, it has no senses, now, which is functioning. It has no mind, it has no intelligence, it has no memory. It doesn't breathe, it doesn't pass urine or stool. This is the condition of that life in that womb at that time. Inside the womb, in that condition, the mother who is consuming food supplies the food through the umbilical cord, which is turned around the baby three times or so. It ropes around the body of the baby inside. Now, the food is provided by the mother. Breathing also is done by the mother for the baby. Inside the womb, when he is sitting there, he is called Jandu. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, it is explained there why he is called Jandu. Because it's not decided whether he is a male or female yet. He is an animal at this time. Therefore, he is given the title as Jandu. So, Jandu means a animal. So, he is sitting there and what's happening to him? The growth begins there. When the growth begins, what happens first thing is that this piece of flesh grows bigger. And from there, the hands and the legs come out. Hands and the legs come out. And with the head develops, it's all growing up inside. And simultaneously, in course of time, every few weeks or so, this development happens. The from the head, the nine holes comes out in the body, one after the other. All the nine holes develops in the body. So more or less, it has got a body inside. It has got a soul also inside. But although the soul is present there, it's in such a dormant state, it doesn't have the full consciousness yet. What it is, why I have come here. Only thing is happening to it is suffering there. It is suffering how? The mother is eating all kinds of food and that goes and gives pain to the child inside, to the baby inside. If you eat some very hot pickles and things like that, it burns. Or if he drinks, the alcohol gives pain to the child, the baby. And everything that goes inside. And inside the womb, all around it, it's not a beautiful park there, sitting there. What it is one side is urine, mother's urine stored. Other side is the stool is stored. And on the other side, there is the mucus and the blood everywhere. And all around, surrounding it is looking, all it is seeing is this simply disgusting things around. And this great personality who is inside is sitting there and thinking, what is going to happen to me now? Fearing, all the time fearing about its condition. So it is then that Supreme Personality, Krishna, who is so merciful, decides to give him some memory of the past. So past memories comes to him in so many different bodies, in so many different wombs, how much he has suffered in so many lifetimes. All these thoughts comes to him. And when these thoughts comes to him, he is thinking, what a stupid I am. I had so many opportunities to get out of this and go back to the spiritual world. I never took notice of it. I completely ignored it. And I was busy in so many other activities in this world. And he starts saying to Krishna, please do something about it. I will not do this mistake again. He is praying to Krishna constantly. By now it's about 7th month. By 7th month, this is the situation. He is praying to Krishna that please do not give this. I don't want to go out and again. Because he has seen all what has happened to him before in previous lifetimes. We don't have to say this because you know what happens when you come out from the womb after that. Starting from going to school, you have to do so many A-levels to get in somewhere. And this, that and the other, it's a cycle of events already kept ready for you. They are waiting for you to come out and hand over to you what you have to do for the next 20, 30 years. So this is the situation. In the womb, the Jandu or the spirit soul is going through this hell. Through this hell, it is experiencing there. And then seventh month, he is saying to Krishna that, let me not go out. I will stay here and think about you because now I have your memory. I am remembering you. Let me think like this and die here. Krishna says, no. That is not possible. Because this has happened so many times before. You have promised me and then you have cheated me. You went out, first thing what you did was you forgot me and started doing what you want to do. So I cannot let you have that, he says. Krishna says to the Jandu, Chandu is listening. He is saying that, he is praying to Krishna again and again, don't kick me out from here. Krishna has got a special tool for this, to kick us out from inside. In the Bhagavatam, it is called Suti Maruta. Suti Maruta means, it's a special air, what is present inside that stomach of the mother. Prasutyai Suti Marutaha. Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti, that Prasuti, Suti Maruta has been asked by Krishna, now kick him from there, from the inside. And one day he comes out. How? Viparita anugatim gadaha. Upside down. You are coming to this world upside down, which means from that day onwards everything is upside down. This is what it is saying. See how dangerous the situation is. We do not recognize any of these things. We are thinking that is why in the Kavilava, in this study of life after death, or what is known as Maranandara Gadi, the travel of the soul after death is more important than studying all this body in this world. And what happens to this body, and what happens to illnesses and diseases. What is the point? You, no matter what experiments you do, research you do, and what knowledge you acquire, it's all finished with death anyway. And after that, the whole real misery starts from then on. And so what happens is that Krishna kicks him out from there, and when he comes out, up to this, the way it comes out is also very interesting. It explains like this, that we are surrounded by these three strings around, which is the umbilical cord takes that three shapes. And all these three things has to break at the same time. Only then you can come out. If one doesn't break, then you have to start the operation and all the other things, what we do to try to break it ourselves. But Krishna's arrangement is such that this whole three things breaks at the same time and you come out from inside. And when you come out from inside, by now the supply has pulled back. Mother is not supplying you food anymore, nor she is supplying you the air to breathe. So therefore, the baby is crying because he wants air. He doesn't have. Suddenly, if you pull the supply, what will happen? You can imagine how it is. That you are inside. Up to now, you are having the supply at least coming from the mother. Suddenly, mother pulls out the supply when these three strings break. And at that time, you come out from inside. Viparita anugatim gadaha. Viparitam in the opposite way you come crying out. But here outside, everybody is saying, the doctors are saying, the relatives are saying, oh, he's crying, so everything is okay. He doesn't know why he's crying. He's thinking, because he's crying, he should be okay. This is our understanding. Look at this, how ignorant we are when you do not understand what Shastra says about these things. Our total ignorance in all stages. We are thinking that doctors are telling, oh, he's okay, he's come out now, he's crying, everything is fine. And we are also thinking he's crying, but we don't know why he's crying. Shastras are saying there, the reason for the cry is this, that when the source of supply has pulled out, and the baby has come out, it doesn't have pranan inside. Pranan means, pranan has not entered the body yet. The soul is present there. The presence of the soul manifests only when the pranan is also inside. It is the pranan that makes the breathing goes on inside the body, isn't it? The five different kinds of air. The subtle aspects of the body. Pranan, apanan, samanan, udanan and vyanan. The five different kinds of air in the body creates the different functions. For example, going to toilet, which is known as excretion, is called by the vyanan, apanan. Apanan does that job. And the digestion of the food is the duty of the vyanan. And samanan takes the whole air. The yogi's knowledge, if you study the yoga shastram, you will find Patanjali's yoga shastram is famous because it gives you information about all these different kinds of air in the body, how it functions. The chief of all these five different air is pranan. So this pranan has not entered the body yet, and that's why it's crying. But as soon as it comes out, pranan enters into the body, and that is the subtle side of that. When pranan enters into the body, immediately the life, it starts breathing inside. And that is the time it gets a bit of a relief from that. So from then, after that, you have come to this world. Now everybody is welcoming you with the different things. They tell you that, oh, how fortunate we are. Baby is weighing 10 pounds, 12 pounds, 16 pounds, whatever. That is all. The weight, they will talk only about the weight. They don't see what karma he has brought with him to serve him. How many people he is going to give trouble in this world. Nobody will talk about it. All they will talk about is the weight. But the person has come here, and at that time itself, all the vasanas have followed with him. from the previous body, and those vasanas are now ready to take shape. That is known as prarabdham, or prarabdha karma. So, if people tell you that the birth is the beginning of life, and death is the end of life, and they also tell you that what keeps this gross body going like this, they will say that good food, good exercise, good medicine, this, that, and everything. Shastra says none of that will keep life in this world. Prarabdha karmam will keep your body in this world. That is what sustains this body in this world. Nothing else. It is the prarabdha karmam. Prarabdham is the whole thing. You will not see anything else mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Arabdha karma narvanam yabadal pancha baudigaha. Sri Narada Maharshi says in the beginning that when my prarabdha karma was over, I dropped my body. This is how advanced, intelligent, and people who have realizations, they will speak. They won't say that I had all these therapies and that therapy and I am okay. No, no therapy will keep your body. Sometimes there are extreme examples also in this. Prarabdha karmam sustains the body. Whether you feed it or not, you don't have to worry. Prarabdham will sustain the body. That is the Vedic conclusion. Vedic conclusion will never accept that food and shelter and other things will sustain the body. It is the prarabdha karmam that sustains the body of a living entity in this world. And that is the reason why, from the Vedic viewpoint, not to give too much importance about maintaining this body. Body requires maintenance. They are not saying that don't maintain your body. You can keep, look after your body. But that is not the goal of life. The goal of life is not looking after this temporary coverage. That will drop off anyway one day. But how to get out of this cycle of birth and death, that is the goal. This is why Shastras are saying like this. And as soon as he comes out from the womb, then from then on, the misery begins. You can't express yourself what you want. And the person who is trying to look after you, it does not know what you need, where the problems are in the body. But out of ignorance, they try to help you, but they don't know what help you require. So this is our situation. In that ignorance, many years goes like that, months. And when you grow up, after that, all the other things begin. The struggle for existence starts. That is when the school process begins. You are sent to school, and then you have to go on hammering there for years together. And why? At the end, you have to feel that there is this gross body you have to maintain. But when one is absorbed so much only, gross bodily concept of life, that struggle becomes very severe. And when it becomes so severe, that at some point in time, he loses all his understanding of life. He simply thinks maintaining this gross body is the only business in this world. He'll come to that conclusion. And after that, what is known as few things happens after that. The struggle for survival in this world, because that is known to everybody, because we are all doing that every day, trying to struggle this way or that way, somehow maintain ourselves in this world. That is one side. On the other side, what is known as paratantrita. Paratantrita means paratantram, that you are doing so many things, but you are not independent. You are controlled by parents, the friends, the relatives, the society, this, that, and other things. You feel have obligation to all these people. You start feeling like this. Oh, if I don't look after my family, what will happen? They'll be in difficulties. I have to do that. And you're also thinking that I have obligations to my company, what I'm working for. If I don't do that, what will company do to me? I have obligations to my society, my community, whom I am with. And I have obligations to the country. Like this, a list of obligations handed over to you by the so-called environment comes to you. And that is known as parandre. Parandre means this will not even allow you to take to spiritual life. All these things won't allow you to take to spiritual life. This is the difficulty. Just imagine, born in ignorance, growing up in ignorance, and even the whole surroundings and circumstances even don't allowing you to understand your identity as spirit soul and to act on a spiritual platform. So this is what we are saying, that and then growing up and grown up and then continue with all the other business in this world. But as he grows up, he grows further and further, and about 17, 18 years old, all his hands and legs are so strong, the prime of his youth, then he boldly declares to the world, God doesn't exist. After going through this whole misery in the womb, and after changing the body so many times, he has come to this great conclusion, God doesn't exist. Do you think, is there any more deeper ignorance than this to come to conclusion like this? This is why samsaram is called. Why it is called samsaram? Why prayers to spiritual master begins with this word? Samsara dhava ananalitha loga tranaya karunya ghanaghanatvam praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. And in order to understand this, one should take the shelter of a spiritual master. That is where the role of the spiritual master. He makes the person aware of his ignorant condition. You will not get this understanding. And unless and until he understands it, it's the duty of the spiritual master to make him aware of the problems of this cycle of birth and death. Unless and until he comes to that perfect understanding of that, there is no hope at all. So you can see from here, he has come to this. Now, once you have got into that understanding, God doesn't exist. Then to come back to God exist situation, he needs a few kicks before he gets it. He has to be kicked. So if he is a good, fortunate person, material nature will give him a few kicks. But what happens is, by the time you get kicks and you come out of the kick, you are already gone old. And then what can you do? You can't do anything. You start reading Bhagavad Gita, you fall asleep. You start reading Bhagavadam, then the thoughts of something else comes inside. So everything gets so late, there's nothing you can do about it now. And then you finish like that, then the distressful old age comes. Once the old age comes, nobody wants to look at you. As soon as they see you, they turn their head somewhere else. And not only they turn their head, and they'll say, this old man, he's just causing problems to us. That's what they'll talk about you when you get older. So in addition to that, the fear builds up. Oh, I have to leave my body now. And then you go after all kinds of insurances available in this world. Bupa, City Line, City Direct, whatever that is called. Pulling out all insurances, checking the prices, which is the cheapest. Which old age home should I go into where I can survive? Thinking that, preparing for this death. You know how many years an old man is thinking before he leaves this body that he has to organize himself so that the old age is not too miserable. You know it's miserable. Everybody knows old age is nothing but misery. Simply misery, day after day, waiting for this to leave the body. The soul wants to leave, but prarabdham is not finished. This is the problem. Because prarabdham is not finished, he has to stay either in the old age home or in your house or elsewhere, wherever, hospital or wherever it is. Mostly it is shared between the hospitals and the old age home. They share our prarabdha, most of it. So in these two places, you spend months and years waiting for coming or finishing this body. And one day you start thinking, when will this finish? So let me ask a question. When you came to this world at the age of 3 and 4, you look at the child, he was playing happily. Have you noticed something? As soon as he comes out of the womb, first thing is, he wants everything. He goes and puts his hand on everything. Do you know why he does that? Because the effect of Maya is such, he wants to enjoy matter as much as he can. That desire starts coming out straight away. He wants everything in this world. It begins at that age. And it goes on, and at the age of 80 or 85, you look at the same child who grew up and look at his face. Do you see the same happiness what you see him at 3 years? It is full of anxieties now. Cannot even smile once in a day. That is how miserable the situation is. Why? This is a clear proof that all what he has got throughout his life was nothing but distress. Because if according to the theory of those who think that this place, this world is a wonderful place, he should have been more happy now because he has been getting so much happiness all along. He should be much more happy than when he was 3 years old. But the happiness what you saw him at 3 years, you don't find him at the age of 80, do you? So what does it indicate? It indicates only one thing, that this personality has been going through distress after distress after distress throughout life. And at the age of this 75 or 80, or if you get that far, even that is not guaranteed, that even at that age, what you are experiencing is nothing but distress. This is what you have got with you at the end of life to carry with you from here to the next place. So, this is the life in this world. Think about all these things. What you have experienced in the womb of the mother. How much you have suffered there. In different bodies and different lifetimes. how much you are suffering in this world after coming here throughout your lifetime. At the time of death, old age, how much distress that brings and the diseases associated with it. Sometimes if you are lucky, you may finish in few days and gone from here. Sometimes you could be very unfortunate that for years and years you could be stuck here in a helpless condition. All your so-called relatives and all will come for the first few months. They'll visit you. They'll bring you flowers and all and show their appreciation or sorry or compassion for you. After a few months, they will also get tired because they've got other business to do themselves. So they will also give up. All these visits and all will come to an end. And so you start thinking that what can you do? This is life. He sits in his chair in front of the telly, looks at the telly, channel after channel he is flipping one to another. No satisfaction in any channel. All channel is showing so many wonderful things. But every channel, I can't do anything. So what's the point in looking at the channel? What channel can help? So he is feeling distressed. But at the same time, he has no choice. He has no choice. That is the old age and disease. And eventually, death. And when the death happens, then throughout lifetime, all he has done is exploiting others, sinful activities. And because it was like that, there is not much scope in the Pradalogam also. When he gets there, the relatives have all forgotten now. They have decided to share his property and assets. That's all they wanted. The man is gone. Then they'll say, what is this? So if you look at it, the life after death, there is some interesting documents prepared by some ministry. I don't know which ministry it is. Says that how you have to organize your death. That is, it's a huge volumes of books they have written. It's available in the library. So when you read through that, you'll find very interesting things they mentioned there. That how you should organize your death, they say. As though, as far as they are concerned, everything is finished at death. So the moment you organize your death, that is the last thing you can organize in this world. And after that, there is nothing to be organized. Don't worry about the rest of it. That's all taken care already. But organizing death means finding your funeral director and making arrangements that you have enough money to pay for him. And in addition to that, you have to make sure all your wills and other testaments are all properly done for your children and grandchildren, whoever is there to acquire inheritance from you, and make sure that it is tax-free. And all these things, this is what people are busy with in this world. Can you imagine? Shastra is saying that, don't waste your time doing these things to such an extent. This is not the goal of life. Goal of life is that prepare yourself that you don't have to come back into this body business again. So therefore, after leaving this body, then in the Pradalogam, the distress that he is unaware of that, so he doesn't bother. Then you do not know whether you will go to the these three planets, Pradalogam, Pitralogam, and Naralogam, Naragalogam. These are the three planets where the living entity spends a lot of time once he comes to the material world. So Naragalogam, if he has to accept the punishments, if he has been particularly extremely sinful, you cannot get out of this. Karma will hold you one day, no matter who it is. Does it be prime minister or president? It doesn't matter. There is a higher law above all these things, and that will hold you responsible. You can't escape from that. If you are not willing to accept it, you pay for it. That's the answer to that. And Krishna's laws are such. This earthly planet is such a powerful place. Why earthly planet is given so much importance? Because it's here that karma will work. Karma will show its power in this world. And precisely that's the reason why it is spoken throughout Vedic literature. Karma anubandhini manushya loge. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also. It's the same thing. Krishna is repeating few chapters in the early chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. It's all about karma. Why karma is given so much importance? Whereas, who cares for karma today? Who is bothered about karma? The Supreme Personality, the person in knowledge, Krishna is telling us, think about your karma. Karma is responsible to decide what your destination is. And in order to, unless and until one gets out of this karma mandalam, or the face of this karma, one has no liberation. That is liberation. Liberation means getting out of this karma once for all. So, you have gone to the Pradalogam, then to Pitralogam, Pitralogam again, continuation back to this earthly planet, maybe in another body, in another home. And throughout life you have acquired so much wealth and you left everything here. Even if you have got birth around that wealth, what you have acquired, still you cannot have it. Although it was yours before you left the body. Somebody else, you can sit there and watch someone else enjoying your wealth. That's all you can do. So you have gone, this karma mandalam continues up and down through these different cycles it goes on. So when you think about all these things, that means the life inside the womb, the childhood, the miseries of childhood in this world, in the youth, because of youth means total in Maya. That's what youth means, isn't it? No knowledge what you are doing yourself, completely ignorant of everything. I am the monarch. That is the attitude at that time. That is why it is mentioned there that the Ajari Swamiji says about this, that vayasika dega kama vikaram. When you are an old person, your lusty desires more or less goes away. Vayasika dega kama vikaram. Shushke nire ka kasara. That if the water is dried up, there is no more lake, is it? Sometimes in the summertime, the water dry up in the lake, and then there is no lake once the water dries up. Similarly, vayasi gadega kama vigara. Where is the kama vigaram, all the lusty desires that has been controlling you, throughout, controlling all of us throughout youth, that is goes away at the old age. But shushke nire ka kasara. Where is the lake when the water has totally dried up? Then kshine vite ka parivara. When your money is finished in this world, you won't have any friends also. That also you can take it. All the so-called friends and relatives and all that will be with you as long as you have something to show, that you have something to spend for them. Or a member of the society I am. I am a member of this society, that society, or this, that and the other. And they will all treat you nicely. The moment you have no money to pay your premium, your society is also finished. That's why it says there, kshine vite ka parivara, yade tatve ka samsara. When the knowledge has happened in one's place, in one has developed spiritual knowledge, as Krishna has mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no more material existence. That is how it says. That, so you can see from here that the childhood has been misery. Youth has also been misery. Although physically you have been very strong and you had all the of opulences, enjoying the senses. At the same time, that sense gratification degrades you and also takes you away from Krishna. In other words, it creates more and more vasanas to accept start another material body again as soon as you leave this body. So childhood is not pleasant, youth is not pleasant either. In other words, youth is only causing more problems to you unknowingly. Is the old age anyway different? Old age is, doesn't have to discuss old age, what old age means. We have so on talked about it. So where is the happiness? Where is the happiness in this world, what we are talking about? They are running here, running everywhere for happiness. Where is that? This is why Shastras are saying there that the purpose of human life is to reflect on these things and to realize that even after leaving the body, it goes back into these different planetary systems, Predalogam, Pidralogam or Naragalogam, and then come back again to this earthly planet and start this whole process once again. Entering to the womb, going through this whole process. So is there any happiness in this? This is the question Shastras are raising us to us. This is called samsaram. Virajita bhayam rishnidhuryade charanami yusham samsradeer bhayal. So in that situation, when you have that kind of fear, gopis are saying here that take to the shelter of, if you take Krishna's shelter, Krishna's lotus feet, that will protect you from all kinds of distress. Nothing else can protect you, because this knowledge of the soul, transmigration from one body to another, one planet to another, one species to another, and the movement of the soul and our identity as spirit soul, this knowledge comes from Krishna. No one else has this. Krishna is the, it is through Krishna alone is the authority on spiritual knowledge. It's from Krishna everything comes. And that is why Krishna is referred to as Jagal Guru. Krishna Mande Jagal Gurum. He is the Jagal Guru, Supreme Spiritual Master. Because from him we receive this knowledge of what is our true identity. Instead of understanding these things, instead of becoming serious about spiritual life, if one simply engages in sinful activities and ignore everything what Krishna has given to us through Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and if we start thinking that, all this is, it's not very convincing, the arguments are not very logical, and I need more proof for this, and who has written all these shastras, how do you know? There is answer to all these questions in the shastras. You have to take some effort to study them and understand them. Sometimes they say, oh, that devotee, he was talking so many big things, but he is also dying one day. So where is the proof that there is no cycle, birth and death again? There is proof for that. There is proof for that. Only thing, you have to understand the reasoning behind it. Normally, jnanis and the devotees, for example, when you are in your dream, like for example, in the night, I'm sleeping, and in the dreams, an elephant has come, and it is disturbing me. An elephant has really come to kick me out. I'm sleeping in the 10th floor of a building. Elephant has no chance of getting there. But I'm suffering at that moment, isn't it? When the elephant is in, or a tiger, whichever one you can imagine, that particular one is trying to kill me, and I'm suffering there. So, when I'm suffering there, I'm crying. And I'm crying. I've not come out of that dream body yet. I'm in the dream body still. Unless and until I come out of the dream body, at that point in time, that is a reality for me. I'm experiencing the reality of life at that time. I have left my gross body here. Gross body is lying there. But I have no identification with the gross body at that time. I'm identifying with the subtle body. Therefore, I'm in the subtle body at that time. I'm suffering there in the subtle body. So when I'm suffering the subtle body, this gross body cannot help me. Gross body cannot help me. But if you ask me that I am the person who is suffering, none of you will know my experiences. What I am experiencing in the subtle body is not known to you. Only thing you will know, if you are sleeping in the same room where I am sleeping, when I am start shouting and crying, then you may come back and start waking me up. What are you crying for? And start shaking you up and break you up. And when you are woken up, till you are woken up, you had the experience of the dream. But the moment you are woken up and he start telling you, what are you crying for? And you are saying, oh, I just saw an elephant coming to kill me. So the man is telling you, how can an elephant come to the 10th floor of the building? He says to you, then you come to your senses. So up to that point, you are in that subtle body. This is just one example. So many examples like this. But unless and until you come from the subtle body back to the gross body, all your activities in the gross body is not real to you. The only thing that is real at that particular time is what you have experienced in that subtle body. Similarly, gross body, subtle body and causal body, the soul is moving back and forth. At some point in time, when you are liberated, these three bodies are finished and you go into the next phase, which is the liberated state. So, unless and until you come to the liberated state, you cannot know what it is. You do not know. For example, great jnanis and great yogis and great devotees, they finish these three and they go into that state. But we are in these three states still. And we are making the judgment, oh, he is also dying still. This is our problem. We are thinking that what's the difference? He is also dying. He's saying like this. Oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also died. Srila Prabhupada also died. So where is the difference? How do you know that he has finished? No, the answer to that is this. That you do not know of a great personality who has left these three phases. The soul has left that three conditions of gross body, subtle body and the causal body. And it has gone beyond than that to the liberated state. You cannot experience that. Just like in the dream, you cannot know my dream. As much as I cannot know your dream. Similarly, these are all subtle phases of existence. And simply to say that the gross body, or he's also leaving the gross body. The difference is, such great personalities, when they leave the gross body, they do not accept another gross body. Whereas we leave this gross body straight away, we prepare for the next gross body. This is the difference. And the freedom from death means, or escaping from death means, not getting out of the gross body, getting out of this cycle of birth and death. That is what is liberation means, or escaping from death. That is what is escaping from death. From the Vedic point of view, escaping death means that once for all, getting out of this gross body, subtle body, and the causal body. So, in a very nutshell, I have briefly talked about this science of what is called the samsaram. This word samsaram, samsaram means our experiences from birth, of accepting the gross body, finishing the gross body, and after finishing the gross body, the life after that, up to we getting the next gross body again. So this cycle, this is called samsaram or material existence. You will see the word everywhere in the Shastram, samsaram, samsaram, samsaram mentioned. Why? Because this is what we are trying to escape from this. So hopefully what I have spoken today may have given you a little things to think about, that ignorance is so strong in us that it is difficult for us to give up this bodily concept of life. And Krishna is in few 700 verses in the Bhagavad Gita and over 1000 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is giving us the science of freeing oneself from this. It's such a nice challenge in front of the living entity. This is the challenge, no other challenge. Every other challenge is useless. It's not getting a gold medal in Athens or anything. That is not the challenge. This is the challenge in front of us. That is what Krishna is saying. Ladhva sudurlabhamidam bahu sambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam abihadhiraha purnam turnam yaded yaded anumurtidaval nishreyasaya vishayakhalu sarvadasyal. Ekadasha skandam. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, my dear Uddhava, if a person, I have given a body to him, and I have given the knowledge to him, and I have given him all the facilities, I have given him the temple, I have given him Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, I have given them the devotees, I have given them prasadam, and I have given him the process of chanting the holy name. If he is not taking advantage of all these things, what should I call him? Krishna says to Uddhava this, he is called as the killer of the soul. In other words, he did not take advantage of this human body. That is what it means. That is in the Brahma, when Brahma created all the living entities, at one point in time, he said this, Taistera dushtakhradaya purusham vidhaya Brahma avalokadishanam udama apadevaha. Srimad Bhagavatam. So Brahma is saying there, he created so many different bodies, and after all the bodies created, he did not get satisfaction till he made this human body. Because in this human body, he realized it, that he can get something done here. To get out of this cycle of birth and death once for all. Taistai adushtakradaya purusham vidhaya brahma avalokadishanam udama apadevaha. Bhagavatam is saying this. Whole Bhagavatam is only pointing out one thing. Get out of this cycle of birth and death. If you do not achieve this, then everything else is a waste of time in this world. All other things you can talk, many, many big things, I've done this, I've done that. At the end of the day, this is what is waiting for all of us. Unless and until we become conscious of this, and be aware of the samsaram and its the implications of the spirit soul, what it has to go through. That is why gopis have prayed like this. Birachita bhayam rishti dhuryade charanami yusham samsradeir bhayal. See that fear of samsaram. Gopis are saying, charanami yusham samsradeir bhayal karasaro ruham kanda kamadam shirasi dehina shri karagraham. That Krishna's lotus feet should help. That is the only shelter. So we'll stop there because it's 7:30. We'll continue Gopika Gita next Sunday again. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.